can say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Here he comes towards us now, Mike, with his big bushy eyebrows and his silver hair.
His bushy black eyebrows.
His bushy black eyebrows and his silver hair.
Hi, Rob.
Great minds think alike.
Rob Carmison. Hi, Rob.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. McMahon and all the ships at sea. They're the two black bushy eyebrows underneath the silver hair of Radio Excellence.
There you go.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hello, and thank you for listening coast to coast and nationwide via the Westwood One Network, darling. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara right here. That's why every day we insist on calling it your Cotton Pick and Don Mike Show.
We will plow right through your low-pressure system.
We are coming to you from the radio station that smells like dirty undergarments, radio station WJFK. That's our home station in Washington, D.C. Of course, the big stinker, Ken Stevens, he's the general manager. It is skin tags.
Haven't seen those skin tags in a while.
Guy's a reptile. Then you have his number two, and I do mean number two, the program director, Jeremy Coleman, as we speak. He is in a ball underneath a desk in England.
Highlighting his hair.
He's not even in the country.
Right.
Wouldn't you know it, the little worm, the little gerbil. Big Daddy Mel, who we've mentioned very often on this show, a titan of industry.
That's for sure.
We like calling him Cufflinks. He makes everything happen. All love to Big Daddy Mel. And our agent, Junior Soprano from Chicago. That is the chain of command. Soccer moms, I hope you've heeded the advice they give every day at the same time, and you're taking Junior and Missy in your carpool and move them way to the back of the minivan, for I have just whipped this thing out.
It seems to be leaning to one side.
There you go.
Oh, there. Much better. Boy, you did that in short order.
We have 5 million kooky, crazy, Arbitron-rated listeners, and for that, we're very thankful. Yes. We appreciate your patronage, and we humbly thank you. Here is our friend to my left and to your right. You know him, of course, as radio's number one swinger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Guy Atheist. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi there. Okay. New contest is going to debut it on the show today.
Very exciting.
New contest. Oh, let me get my wife to participate in this.
Very, very exciting.
Because I want her perspective also on this.
All right.
Give you a test run of the new contest, the new way we're going to be giving away money on the show.
We are going to be giving away money.
Yes. We'll start with $500.
Hello.
Hello, honey.
Well, hi, Boo.
Listen, you're going to be a guinea pig here, along with Mike and Buzz,
mm-hmm.
with our new radio game.
Not, I don't know about Frida, but Buzz and I do not know what this is.
Right.
This is fresh.
And neither does my wife.
And your wife doesn't either.
Wow. She has no idea. Oh, hey, listen. I forgot to mention that today is Thursday. It's the 9th of August, and our telephone number is 1-877-365-3636.
No,
9th of September.
What did I say?
9th of August, and you have to make sure, because it's 9999.
Right. Oh, and nothing happened with our computers today.
Nothing happened with anybody's computers. That means, you know what that means? There's going to be a lot less panic for Y2K
now.
Right.
I don't think so, but I think you're
hoping.
Right. Nothing happened today, and it is, right. In fact, the 9th of September, and our toll-free lines are open, and I promise we'll take more calls today than we took yesterday, because we hardly took any calls yesterday.
That's right.
You know, one thing I did want to ask you yesterday on the show, honey, before we get to the question, before we get to the contest here.
Yeah, and I was sorry I missed yesterday's show, because I would be interested in how you recapped your vacation.
You know, I will tell you, Frida, and I know you never believe anything I say, but I will tell you that I think he was honest.
She never believes me when I tell her that everything that happens in real life they say on the radio.
He was very self-deprecating about his home entertainment habits.
Yeah.
That's not what I was talking about. But, you know, if you minded kind of batching it for a couple of days.
And again, what did I say about that?
You were lonesome.
It drove me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And Grandma wasn't enough company.
I mentioned your mother a couple of times yesterday, yes. That no, she didn't do it for me.
Oh, well, good.
In more ways than one, she didn't do it for me.
Well, the movies took care of doing it for you.
Yeah,
I think he was very brave to mention those movies.
Yeah.
I think he was brave. And you know something? It's like he cleared the way for all men in this country to sing praises, to the great god of Spectrovision and Spice and all
pornography.
Those. Pornography, yes.
But you know, Bart gives him the hardest time. And when we were meeting up with him on a Saturday after Bart was done with football practice, and Bart noticed that 7:30 Saturday morning.
I want to throw the TV out of my kid was doing
honey,
that to me.
I already announced that yesterday.
All right, then you have been honest.
When you guys came to the house, and Bart noticed that I'd ordered a movie at 7:30 in the morning.
You just couldn't wait that extra hour and a half, could you?
Like what? Like I don't have need? And like when you arrived at the beach at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, like there was a chance we were going to have sex then?
Well, if you had told me how pathetic you were, yeah, we could have worked it out.
You know how pathetic I am. You know how needy I am.
You know, all you have to do is drop Bart off at a video arcade for 15 minutes, and the way is clear.
All right, listen. Speaking of Bart, okay, well, I have a variety of topics to discuss with you. I do want to get to this contest. Mm. But speaking of Bart, and speaking of pornography, something I mentioned yesterday with this whole Playboy thing, and I'm going to mention this now because the boys in school and can't be hearing this on the radio.
Mm.
You know, I would appreciate it that you and I are a unified front when we're sitting at the dinner table and he mentions that, you know, his friends with the progressive parents got his friend a subscription to Playboy.
Not a subscription.
I would appreciate...
It wasn't a subscription?
No, it wasn't a subscription.
He has more than one, Mike.
So they buy it for him on the newsstand occasionally? Daddy will bring it home?
No, I think that's Mom.
Mom brings it?
Wow.
I would appreciate it. Man!
You know, darling, in this day and age, and thank goodness Bart is very honest and he wouldn't do this, to my knowledge, you know, they could see horrible stuff on the internet with a click of a button.
And I'm sure he does. All I'm asking is that in my house, when I'm the king of the castle sitting at the head of the table, when I say, no, absolutely not, you're 14, I'm not buying you Playboy, I would appreciate the look over and have you say, Dad is right.
Well, Bart does have a point when he says, but Dad, I'm not having sex with anyone's lawn I'm mowing with the girl who lives in the house with the lawn I'm mowing. And
this is all covered ground. I mentioned all of this on yesterday's episode.
Right.
That, of course, I lost my virginity when I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
But just because I lost my virginity when I was 12.
No, and you weren't 12.
Yeah, I don't believe that either. I don't think you were 12.
14, maybe.
I think it's gotten younger every year you tell the story.
12.
It was 8th grade.
You do get younger every time you tell. I have to agree with your wife on that.
I was born.
It was 8th grade. It was before I went to Magruder. That I remember. It was when I still went to Wood Junior High School.
You weren't 15?
No, I'm positive. I got laid before I could drive a car. I'm positive.
Well, that would be 15.
And it was before that.
Okay, so it was
because I had to ride my bicycle to this girl's house to cut her dad's grass
Then 15 it could have been.
It was, honey, it was younger than 15. Really, it was. Listen, the point of all of this,
14's better than 12.
No matter what life I've lived, no matter what I say on the radio, because the life is an open book.
And
know,
also, did you tell the story about, you know, climbing over and looking in the windows at the camp where you stayed with your brother?
No.
Would you look in the girls' windows?
Doing that.
Yeah, when we were kids.
A peeping Tom.
When my brother and I would go camping, our family would go camping, my brother and I would go climb up this brick wall so we could look at the girls in the shower together.
There you go.
All right. You know. It's another story that I've mentioned at some point on the radio.
Right.
You know, and my family heard it on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just because I did those things. Here's all I want from you. When I say something at the table like, no Playboy, I want you just to say, Dad's right. No Playboy.
Well, that...
I want you just to be a unified front with
me. Before you, I mean, even that Bart is discussing it with his parents, I think, is pretty open-minded of our whole family.
I think that's fantastic, and I think that's why we should say together, no Playboys.
Yeah, but you'll take them to any R-rated movie that comes down the block.
Sure, I will.
Yeah, so you let them see boobs in motion.
Yeah.
You just can't see them, you know, in a freeze frame.
Honey... You know what young boys do with Playboys, right?
Well, how do you line up on the Playboy issue, Frida?
Well, outside of the fact that he takes them to those movies, how
do you line up?
He's 14 years old.
If he had a Playboy, I don't want to buy it for him. But if he had one hidden under his mattress, and I wouldn't freak out if I found a Playboy there.
That was my point. Nor would I. But I'm not going to go down to 7-Eleven to buy the boy a Playboy
Why don't you give him a little wink-wink? Because Bart is such an honest... break the rules kind of guy that he won't, unless he sees a
Listen, I got news. He's already seen a Playboy. He's already seen one,
but he doesn't feel... He feels like it would be breaking... He told me this. It would be breaking your trust to actually own...
Good. Listen, that's what I want.
I agree with you.
That's good.
I think if he had one hidden under his mattress, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
Right.
And he has to know... We don't lay down the law too strong on one thing.
We lay down the law strong on the things that are important. I'm not buying him a Playboy magazine.
Okay.
Can I weigh in on this? Hold on a second. Let me weigh in on this, okay? I think, really, that there's a part of him, like all kids, that probably wants you guys to say no. It might not seem like that, but there's a part of him he might not know.
There's the biggest part of him wants us to say yes because he wants us to be like these other parents.
But if he hears you, and a lot, and there were parents in my community that when I was a kid that I wanted to, you know, can I have, can I have the motorbike that the kid down the street has? Can I do this? Can I do that? And even though your parents say no,
there's a difference between a motorbike and Playboy.
And I'm not saying if you said yes, it would send a message that hey, anything goes. And I don't think that would be a good
thing. Have you seen today's modern Playboy? Because even though it doesn't show as much as Hustler or Penthouse,
modern Playboy's not for it's way up there.
He wanted to buy one. He saw in an antique store from 1960.
Listen, Playboy is for 14-year-old boys, as long as they're not my 14-year-old boy.
And if he hides it under his mattress and you don't know about it, hey, that's fine because you won't know about it.
And then you're telling your kid it's okay to do something as long as I don't know about it.
No. See, and I didn't say that.
Well, I didn't say that.
The message that I'm giving is clear. Does he get to go to R-rated movies? Yes.
Don't ask yourself a question.
Because I take him. That's why he goes R-rated movies, because I take him.
So I think your wife is saying it's okay for you to buy him a copy of Playboy.
I'm not buying him Playboy.
Okay.
I'm not.
And I'm surprised at that, frankly.
But it's okay if he has one under his mattress.
No, technically, it's not.
Technically.
Of course, if it happens, I will understand it. But what I don't want the boy to do is get to thinking, hey, you know what? It's okay if I got this because I know nothing's going
to
happen.
I think certain issues are meant to be, you know, you give them basically the speech about the facts of life. Don't do this, don't do that. But then, you know, as they get older, they kind of go in their separate directions.
I don't want to know about it. And I don't want it up front saying, listen, you got a Playboy under your bed. That's okay with me.
Yeah, but you're
saying... That's not the right
message. But you're saying if you do it, you know, it's okay.
No, I didn't say that.
My message won't hurt, is what you're saying.
And I didn't say that. That's what you said. That's why we're not a unified front. My message to him is the same. No pornography in my house.
Unless I own it.
Unless it's mine. That's right.
I'm with you.
That's right.
On that one.
No pornography in my house unless it's mine. Now, between you and me, and not between him.
And everybody else in the world.
No. Except him, because he's in school right now, honey.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not hearing this.
Yeah, I'm sure word won't get to him.
Well, then I will deny it to him.
I will tell him
I was just saying this for the show.
You know, we might have to work on those parenting skills just a little bit.
Listen, honey, it's one of the few things in life that I do well is being a parent. Even you got to admit that. I know what I'm doing with that kid.
But you're not a perfect parent.
I am.
No, I'm
a perfect parent. I'm a perfect parent, and I'm not, thank you, Robbie, and I'm not buying the boy a Playboy.
I don't say you should buy it, but if he wants to sneak one, an old 1960s one that he found in his...
You can't say that to him. You can't say if you want to sneak one in, sneak it in, then it's not sneaking it.
Correct.
You know it.
Correct.
So then he wouldn't have to sneak.
No, listen, this is like living in a commune with a hippie woman. The answer, honey, is no.
Mm-hmm.
No Playboys for the boy.
Fred, are you giving us the real spiel here?
Or is this just for the radio?
No, this is her real
this
feeling.
This is the real feeling. I didn't know you were such a liberal parent.
This is why I was at the other night at the table. It's
right.
Like, all of a sudden, all my power is drained. It was like, I'm Superman, and my wife and my son are sitting there with kryptonite in front of me.
Right.
Right? It's like I said, no Playboys, absolutely. And Frida goes, well, if he happens to bring one in, though. And I said, no. No Playboy.
You know, darling, if you won't let him have an antique Playboy...
Honey, I won't.
You know how hard it is to see pornography now?
Can I tell you something? Do you know how easy it is to see pornography
now?
That's
right.
Okay?
That's what I'm saying. On the Internet, he'll see dogs and humans.
Hey, listen, for the final time, and then I want to play the stupid game with you. For the final time, he's already seen it. I know that's going to happen. That's a point of growing up. My point as a parent is I'm not going to supply it. I'm not going to condone it. Between you and me, if I find a Playboy under his bed, I'm not going to blow my stack.
And I think, I got to tell you this, I think he will think that that is very rough, right? He'll say, I'm really bummed. But then when he gets to be 20 years old, he'll look back on it and probably be grateful just because you did that. Because
it showed
that you cared.
Oh, he knows we care
so much. But I mean, it's still, you look back on something like that.
Mike, he's got more rules than any other kid in the whole wide world. When he went on a ski trip last year, he was about the only one in his class who had to wear a helmet. You know, we've got rules that make him...
Honey, I agree.
You know,
he's a great kid. I love him more than life myself. Mm-hmm. But for the final time, We are not buying him Playboys. I don't care if they're Playboys from the year 1900. We're not buying him Playboys. And that's the end of this discussion.
All right.
The next question I had for you. When are you going back to work? That's the real question, because now he's off to high school now.
Is this the game?
No, this is not the game.
No, this isn't the game.
No, this is not the game. This is
the game is to find me a job.
This was simply the next question.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious now you've got a little too much time on your hands. Bart is going to be gone most days. We leave for school. I drive carpool in the morning. We're out of the house before 7. He doesn't get back home from school at night till 6 o'clock at night. He's a freshman in high school now. You got all day long. What are you going to do?
That's a good question, my boo-boo. I've been giving that some thought. I was on the internet looking for a job. I might go back to work, but it's been a long time, and I've got the usual, been a housewife for a long time kind of story. I've got a resume that's, 15 years old.
Right. Well, Denny's is hiring. I think you would look fantastic in a Taco Bell smock.
I don't think I even cook well enough for Denny's.
Get a job at Der Wiener Schnitzel.
I could work for you.
No, please. No, thank you.
You don't have any... Who do you have... What? Do you like your traffic person?
What do you mean, the girl that does the traffic? Yeah, she's fine. Honey, there's not a regular place for you on this show. Your place on this show is where you are right now.
Okay, here's the problem. What was my job before I stopped working? It was being on radio.
Oh, right, and your career was skyrocketing. I've had to hold you down because you were on the verge of major success until you married me, which slowed your career down.
You know what? You're gonna send me back to a marriage counselor. Because I was thinking today how much I loved you.
I love you too.
If you want to go back there, you were very unsupportive of me. You never told me I was, and I've always told you you're the greatest, and you never.
I am the greatest.
Yeah. Right. Well, so now, and you always told you never. You always gave me that kind of shrug your shoulders thing because you were jealous of me.
Okay.
You're jealous.
You can say a lot of things about me. I was not jealous
of
you.
Well, then why were you
a disc jockey on Wash FM? I was not jealous of that.
I wasn't just on Wash. I was on top 40 stations.
Okay. Listen, I was not jealous of you.
Is that the kind of work you want to go back to do?
No, but I'm just saying that's what I did.
Right, which is why I suggested.
All right, maybe you should. You know what? Before you bring this up on the air, maybe you should have a serious discussion with me at home.
Why?
Because maybe I'm going to tell you some truths that you're not ready to hear publicly.
Truths about what?
Truths about how unsupportive you were.
Well, listen, that's water under the bridge, honey. That's 20 years ago.
First of all, Mr. 12-year-old sex, it wasn't 20 years ago. You're not the handiest with numbers.
We've been married 18 years. Isn't that close enough? Can't I round that off to 20?
I worked in radio 10 years ago. Less than 10 years ago. 6 years ago.
Okay. Listen, let's move on. I was just being facetious anyway when I said, when are you going to get a job?
Well, see, you've touched a real thing, though. I'm thinking about it.
No. Okay. You don't want me to be brutally honest at this point either.
Oh, dear. I hate it when you say that.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So maybe we should both just say, listen, I shouldn't have brought that up.
Wait, you don't think I could get a job?
I don't doubt you couldn't get a job, but you're my wife. Who wouldn't want to hire my wife?
What kind of brutal... I'm not afraid of your honesty.
Honey, let's play the game, okay?
All right.
Let's just play the game.
Well, then why do you say that?
Why do I say what?
That I don't want you to be brutally honest.
Because you don't.
Go ahead.
Okay, I was never threatened when you were in the same field as me.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Oh, yeah?
Never.
All right. That's why you told me when I worked at the same radio station to get off your turf. And that was...
Oh, you mean when you worked at B96?
No, when I worked at WAVA.
Hmm. Gee, why would you have gotten that job at WAVA?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, who went into the boss and said, would you please hire my wife to do a weekend
show? Well, that's interesting, because I left WAVA to go to another radio station, and they hired me back. So did you go and say, please,
They hired you back because it was quite a coup, because you're my wife. It was quite a coup to have you on another radio station. Because, listen, people know you from being on this show.
Oh, so that's the only reason anyone hires me, period.
Oh, dear.
Well, I didn't say that.
Oh, dear,
I didn't
dear.
Say
That's
that.
What you're saying.
Oh, this has turned very, very
Honey,
ugly.
Listen, anything you want to do, I support you 100%.
A baloney.
No, I do.
No, that's not true.
Yes, it
you
is.
Don't, hey, you don't even like it when I work. Because then no one's around to, you know, to
right.
do every...
Right. I like having you around. There's no doubt about
no,
it.
No, you like having, you know, your staff at home.
My what at home?
Your staff. That's me.
You're not my staff.
I am. I keep the house. I take care of the kids.
Oh, no, hold on.
I save you big bucks on pay-per-view.
Yeah, all right. All right, listen. I love you, and I'll support you whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
I mean that. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you want to do.
All right, that's
Go ahead. Just like I thought 18 years ago when we got married, or however long when I met you.
Right.
It's pretty weird that I'm in this field. You'd have to admit that I'm pretty much at the top of my field.
I was, huh? Are you saying that I only got hired because of you ever?
No. No, I'm not.
Before I knew
I'm
you?
Saying you can understand that now at this point, here I am. You'd have to admit I'm kind of at the top of my field. I'm at the top of my, you got to admit, I'm doing pretty good.
I never begrudged
okay.
you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, why wouldn't you want to try another field?
Yeah, just try another field. If you weren't in radio, what field would you try?
If I wasn't in radio, what field would I try?
Yeah, would you try?
I'd be a gynecologist.
Oh, all right, that's a good idea.
I don't know what I listen. You know me, I'm worthless without being on the radio. That's the only thing that I love.
All right.
You know, when it comes to work and stuff, that's it. I couldn't stand to have a regular job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now what about when you work for the Democratic Party?
Yeah, what about that?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. What about that?
Well, I know I can do other things.
I know you can do other things.
Oh, I know you can too, Frieda. I'm going to put my two cents
oh,
in.
Oh, thanks, Mike.
Just thought I'd duck into the crossfire.
Right.
Just every now and then when you want to try to dodge one of those bullets.
I'm just,
that's,
you know, the
that's
whole
all right.
thing here.
Eddie Haskell.
the whole thing here. I'm just being facetious.
All right, go on. Play a silly game.
All
and
right, let's
and
play
and appreciate
game.
You having me on only because I'm married to you. Go ahead.
Well, who else am I going to have on?
You know...
You're my wife.
You could find someone... Someone asked me before if I was an actress. You could find an actress.
I don't want,
you don't
I
have
don't
to
want,
have me on just out of pity.
I don't want... You're not on out of... Oh, my God. Have I opened up a box?
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could turn back time and go back 15 minutes.
Go
if
ahead.
I could turn
you know,
back time.
You know, it was...
It's wonderful talking to you because I've learned, A, I'm a bad mother. B, you...
No.
I'd make a bad employee and if only...
You're not
married to you, would anyone ever hire me anyway?
You're not a bad mother, but you should not allow your son to buy Playboy. You should not buy Playboys for your son. That
you
is,
know what?
That's a given.
I'll confer with your mother on how to be a better
mother. My mother is the worst.
I should take advice from how to be a better mother.
Why don't you call Mike's mother?
All right.
Well, you call Mary O'Mara.
I'll give you the number off the air, Frieda. You can call my mom.
All right, good.
She'd love to talk to you about
and
that.
And then I'll sign up at the Columbia School of Broadcasting. Maybe somebody will hire me just for me.
You know, I'd be real curious to know what my mom would say to you. I really would. I know that conversation. I probably desperately don't want that conversation.
Well, nothing would make me prouder than having Bart turn out just to be like Mike O'Mara.
Now you're directing your ire at me, and I haven't said one damn thing.
I'm
angry at the world.
You're
right?
Angry at your... What was I saying? I wasn't saying... Did I say anything to you?
No, you didn't. You really didn't.
I didn't say anything
I'm sorry,
you.
I just got her wound up, and it's my fault.
Go ahead.
Be mad at me. I got her wound up.
This is how I always know when she's really mad. This is how I know she's really, really mad.
She's mad.
She starts throwing those darts at me. I know she's mad.
You know... Here I am, just trying to make some conversation on the show.
Yeah, what?
Kind of a lighthearted, hey, when are you going to go back to work? That's
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Haven't you said yourself to me many times over the last few weeks, gee, I don't know what I'm going to do now that I got all this time?
I said it's going to be quite an adjustment. Bart's in school a lot of the day.
Right.
I certainly don't have any stimulation at home. I'm going to have to find something to do outside the home. But, you know.
But what?
That doesn't mean work. That just means something, someone to do outside the home.
Imagine if this situation was turned around. You know, am I allowed to kid like that? Am I allowed in essence?
And that's what I love about you.
Am I in essence allowed to say to my wife,
right?
Well, gee, maybe I'll just go get another girl and bang her during the day.
You never make any sexual innuendos at all, ever.
Not to you, not certainly not to your face.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, I happen to own a radio.
I know it. My goal tonight is going to be to break every radio in that house.
All right.
Because, frankly, between you listening and Bart listening, it is ruining my life. It really is.
You were a little too free with the information, especially now that he's in the years where the story's appearing a little bit raunchier.
Funny, all the stories about me are true. Those are absolutely true stories. They really are.
All right, well, go
okay,
with the game.
Let's play the game, okay? Here's the new game we're going to play.
Let's play a game.
Oh, good.
Okay,
let's play
a game.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
It's a game. Let's play a game.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Buzz.
See, Buzz?
Oh, there's your boy.
Yeah,
right,
I didn't
there
say a thing, Buzz. She still likes you, though.
Well, she does.
Maybe you can help me think of something to do.
Right now, I need to stay out of this, Frida.
Okay, I understand.
No, Buzz, I'd be curious to know to have you weigh in on this.
No, you don't need to buzz. You know, I understand. I'm not going to put you in an awkward spot. You're my friend.
Oh. You got no bigger friend in the world than me, baby.
Mm-hmm. What have I done to you?
Mm-hmm.
Frida, what have I done to you?
You have got no bigger friend in this
you
world than me.
You are two of a kind. You both of you. Sorry, Mike, but you're lumped in. You're a package deal. I know you try to distance yourself occasionally from him, and it can't be done.
I have a list. I have a list of things that I think you could do.
Really?
Outside of the radio business.
Right,
in my head, I have a list.
Okay, let's hear.
I think you could consult people. You could be a personal computer consultant. Because you're good with computers and you know your way around all that technical hardware that most of us have no ability with at all. I think you could be a career counselor. You could actually counsel people on what their specialties are and what they could do.
Well, thank you.
Those are two things that just popped into my head right
now. I would like to point out that I started this whole discussion by saying Denny's.
You know,
I'm not totally
I don't even know why I bother, because I will get no credit for that.
No, you don't.
No, absolutely not. Honey, don't be so pissed. Come on.
Play your game.
All right, we're going to play the game now.
But the first choice for me would be, I think she should get back into radio.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Shut up. That was for Mike, not for you, honey.
I'm going to write a book. That's going to be my job.
Hey, you know what? That would be excellent. Why don't you write a book?
Start working it.
That's a great idea.
Weren't you writing a book a couple of years ago? Whatever happened to that plan?
You know, I'm probably better at short stories. I need, you know, I lose that. My attention span needs to be worked on if I'm going to write a book.
A collection of short stories.
I have a lot to say.
I know you do.
Okay.
I got a title for you, too. I am the luckiest woman in the world.
I just changed the name slightly. We'll call you Dave, and Mike can be, another M name, like
okay.
Marvin.
Okay. All right, watch it, Mrs. Geronimo.
Okay. That's all right. I got the story. I got a series inside of me, not just one book.
Oh, honey, come on, please.
What? Okay, please. Go ahead. Play
come
the
on,
game.
Let's play our game, okay?
All right.
So, how's your day going today? How's it going? First big day with no responsibility. Must feel good, honey. Must feel good.
Why don't you play your game?
All right, I'm going to play the game.
Good idea.
But first you have to prove to me you're not mad at me. Because, you know, I can't work under that pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it will consume me for the entire show.
No, I'm sure you'll work past it.
No, I won't. Mommy.
Between you on the air and when I used to be a DJ, I probably couldn't have worked, you know, I couldn't have gotten through it. But you are a professional at the top of your field, and you can work through it.
You're probably right, but right now I can't.
No, you
can't. I need to hear it.
Another disc jockey at the top of his field could go on.
I'm just human, honey. I need to hear it.
What?
You need to hear you love me.
And I was thinking so much right before you called. I loved you, and I wanted to tell you that because...
Really?
Because I've been busy lately, and I haven't had a chance. And I know you like, you know, and
well,
I know you like
you
to be reminded that, you know, that
thank you. I love you, too, for the record. I've said that all along.
Yeah,
of course I love you.
That was all in the past tense. I still do.
I love you now, in this moment.
You should. Thank you.
I do.
I know you do.
I do. I love you more than anything.
You wouldn't love me if I went back to work.
I would love you if you went back to work.
No,
I swear to God, I
hated it. That's why I quit the last time I went back to work, because you hated it.
Okay. I don't care what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You can do anything you want to do. You can do anything you want to do.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Daddy.
Okay. I didn't mean it like that.
Oh, sure.
I really didn't mean it like that.
Okay, now I have my permission slip. I can roam the halls. Go ahead.
We are behind. We are parachuting into a minefield right now.
I know we are.
Why am I uptight? Your wife, why am I all nervous?
I don't know why you're uptight.
Why have I always been nervous about this?
I got to go home to this.
Yeah, you've got a few years, Mike. Your wife is still homebound. She's still, you know, still shackled.
Honey, whatever you want to do, find it in me. Whatever.
Okay, thanks.
Really? Okay, let's play the new game, okay?
Go ahead.
Bye. First, I need to hear that you love me.
I love you.
I don't believe it.
Oh, I love you.
Please, come on, please, come on, really.
So much.
Really, come on. How much? How much?
If I were a professional, if I were better, I could. That's all gets back. That's as convincing as
that's
I can.
That's what it
right.
all gets back. You know. Out of all the jobs in the world, she's got to want to do the same thing that
I do. You know what? You married someone who was in the radio business. Why did you do that? I mean, not that I even
because
wanted...
Because I fell in love with you. That's why. That's why I married you.
Okay. You fell in love with me after one date, Sugar Bear.
I did. That's the truth. Did I or did I not fall in love with you immediately?
Right, now I think we found my career. It's obviously being a hooker because that's my only, you know, asset.
Honey.
You make someone fall in love with me.
I'll tell you this. I mean this as a compliment. You're good enough to be a hooker.
Well, thanks. Good. All right.
You are.
Good. Computer consultant, hooker, career consultant.
All right.
I'm all those choices.
All right, listen. Okay, listen. Here's the game we're going to play now. Here's the game.
What game?
You know what? This is the seasons of a woman's life. Right now, my wife is getting into the best part of her life.
Absolutely. A lot of people say this is the best time of anyone's life.
Best time of your life right now, honey.
Mm-hmm.
You're heading into the home stretch.
You know, when your kids start to make that trek down to the college way, you know, that's supposed to be great. It's supposed to be a very great
thing. Right, because you and your husband share so much more and you spend time together with long
walks. I'm shutting up. If I say a thing, it's like, you know what?
Or do we not spend a lot of time together? I think we do.
I think not.
I think we do.
You know, I think not.
I think so.
Sugar, in which room of this house do you spend most of your time when you're awake?
In the TV room.
And there you go.
Okay.
And where do I spend the least amount of time?
In the TV room.
Okay.
Well, what room of the house do you spend most of your time in?
In the kitchen, family room.
In the kitchen.
Yeah, so...
So who's so bad? Because you're in the kitchen and I'm in the TV room?
Yeah, that's not together.
Honey, we're together. We're together here. I'm pointing to my ticker now. We're together.
Oh, we're together spiritually, if not physically.
Yes.
You know, I think you're missing a little of the concept. I think you actually have to spend physical time in the same room with your wife.
No. We spend time together. And listen, this is pointless now.
All right.
This is just pointless.
Okay, then go with the game.
What's the game we're going to play?
Okay, the game is called Do You Really Love Me?
What a neat name for a game. Maybe we're gonna. What do we have? People called married couples call.
That is a question for my wife.
I didn't realize.
I was waiting to hear the rules on this one.
I'd like to know the rules.
Do you really love me?
Yeah.
Okay, and I will tell you that I really love you.
Good. All right.
And now let's play the new game, the Secret Sound Game.
The Secret Sound Game. I like it already. Mm-hmm.
The Secret Sound Game. What we've done is collected a bunch of different sounds.
Yes.
Everyday sounds that you will hear in your house, in your car, on the street, in
are
your
these
office.
Commercially recorded or
these
are they homemade?
Not, these are not commercially recorded
they are,
sounds.
They are homemade sounds.
And every hour we will give someone a chance to call in and identify the secret sound.
I love this. And I love the simplicity of it.
And every time they don't, we'll add money. We'll start with $500.
Rita, don't you like the secret sound game?
It sounds like a lot of fun. Go. I mean, it does. I'm still thinking about the other stuff, but it sounds like
I believe her. She likes it, too. She does like it.
Of course she does.
Yes, she does.
Okay, I'm going to let you go first, honey.
Okay. I just have to guess the sound, right?
Yes.
Okay.
What is this sound?
Rita.
I will say it's, it's something mechanical. Maybe I'm on the portable phone. Can I have it again?
Man, I don't know what it is.
All right, let you hear it again. Let you hear it again. And when we play the game, people will only get to hear it one time.
Wow. Right.
We'll take one phone call an hour for each sound.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to pick up the other phone.
All right, pick up the phone.
Okay. I like this game. I do.
Okay.
I like this game.
Okay, you ready?
Ready.
Here we go. Here's the sound. So simple when you know what it is. I feel like Alex Trebek. It's so easy when you've got all the answers.
Yeah, but it's tough. It's tough.
Any idea, honey?
I know this is wrong, but just to have a guess, I'll say some kind of scale.
Okay, Mike, here it is for you.
Is it somebody trying to start a weed trimmer?
Nope.
All right.
Okay, Buzz?
Is it a silverware drawer?
It is not.
Silverware drawer? That's interesting.
See? See why this is a good contest?
Mm-hmm. Boy, this is so hard.
Should I tell you what this one is?
Give me... Play it one more time in the
night. Give us a hint.
Give us a hint.
No. See,
I know you can't give listeners a hint, but I mean, for us, can we get a hint?
In your home. In your home. Honey?
It's something from the kitchen.
Mike? No, it's not from the kitchen.
Man, is it a cleaning device?
Yes. And don't forget, every guess is a clue for you. As we disc jockeys love saying.
Every guess is a clue.
Mike, need a guess.
All right, cleaning device in the home, not in the kitchen. I believe that is a toothbrush.
Buzz, here it is, one. One more time for you.
A cleaning device? It's not a vacuum cleaner, obviously.
And when we play the game...
There won't be all of this. You're just going to have to guess it.
Every hour, you just hear the sound, you call, and you get a guess.
Okay.
A carpet sweeper.
No, you want to know what it is?
What is it?
What? It's a washing machine dial. You know when you when you turn on your washing machine...
Oh, you pull it out, and then you...
Listen. Listen to it now. Listen to it. Listen.
Sure.
That's fantastic.
Right?
That is so good. So that's how we play the
sound. That is a great debut sound, too.
And that is just the first sound of many sounds. None of them come from these jive crappy sound effect discs, okay?
Can we play again?
No, we can play when we have someone call in to play.
I don't want to play again.
No, it took us about a week to come up with all these sounds. I don't want to shoot the whole wand right here.
All right.
Okay?
What is this sound?
You just cut one.
No, I was faking it. That is very good. You pull that thing
out. Washing machine.
Sound a little more, you know, the washing machine we have sounds like it's a little more clipped than that. That almost sounded like you were spinning a wheel.
You pull it out and turn it all the way around to 60 minutes or heavy load.
Mm-hmm.
But you push it in and turn it.
Some push in, some pull.
Whatever, yeah.
Honey.
Please don't argue with me.
Just saying from my own personal experience.
I know. Okay. Listen, love you. Thank you for helping with that.
You're welcome.
All right.
Goodbye.
Love you.
Freedom.
Love you. Hey,
bye.
Hello. Love you.
Okay. Love you, too.
Love you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay. That's a new contest, everybody.
That is a good contest. Cool. I like that a lot.
That's it. Let's start it right now. What do you say?
Yeah. You think we're going to hear a new sound?
You'll hear a new sound. And when you call in, we'll take caller 100. We'll give you a prize either way.
Right.
Okay. You'll get exactly 15 seconds to identify the secret sound number one.
All right. Very good.
Worth $500.
So you call in, you're calling number 100, you get through, and if you guess it in 15 seconds, you win $500?
Yeah, plus you get the prize.
That is so cool.
And the toll-free number is 1-877-365-3636. We'll start with call 100, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Your kid on or your groove on, you can't get both on at the same time. But what you gonna say? You don't need no man to help you raise no child. You don't need no man. Shut the f*** up with the bull. Yeah, you can do it without a man, but that don't mean it's to be done. You can drive a car with your feet if you want to. That don't make it a good f***ing idea.
From the producers that brought you Messy Girls, it's the Don and Mike Show.
He's the only reason I might watch that MTV show tonight, Chris Rock. He's the host of the MTV Video Awards.
Yeah, and I hope he's got some new material. That would be very, very exciting. You know, I heard something out in the hallway that I wanted to enlighten you about.
Yes. Did he do it again?
Number 59.
Yep. Honest. Son of a bitch. Son of a bitch.
One of those Chicago White Sox day games today, and Sammy Sosa just Jack number 59, Cubs.
Cubs.
I mean, that's right. Chicago Cubs. The Cubbies.
59. 59 now for Sosa Buddy. Mm-hmm.
59.
And 54 for Mark the Vagina McGuire. I'm starting to feel bad about that bet now. I was feeling good yesterday because you were feeling good. I was taking that as your your confidence, I thought, would eventually deflate.
Stupid move on my part. Stupid move in general on my part to do that. I will not be doing that anymore because when I got home, actually, it was more like thinking about it this morning, the karma that I brought upon myself. I've got a few things going in, but, you know, I love baseball, you know, more than anything else. I really get into baseball. And I got the Red Sox happening. And by doing that yesterday, I sincerely believe that my goodwill, feeling good about baseball, has already doomed the Red Sox. I just have that feeling in the back
of
my
head. Well, I saw my favorite team beat them last night.
Yes, that's right. Your all-time favorite team.
My Oakland A's.
Your Oakland A's beat them.
Go A's!
You've become a die-hard Oakland A's fan. I just think I'm not doing that, and I'm not really... I'll be confident when the season's over.
Well, the Dennis Murphy sweepstakes now stands with just over 20 games left.
That's right.
McGuire, 59.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Sosa, 59.
Right.
And McGuire... 54. I am
54.
Five behind.
I'm kissing my fingers and touching. He kisses his fingers and he touches his heart.
Right.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I hate that. I really do, Mike. Down five right now. That's a tough position to be in.
It is tough. I will tell you that. It is. But you never know. There's still plenty of baseball. And Mark McGuire has done more of the two jacks in the game than Sammy has.
I watched last night a little bit of the Braves-Cardinals game.
Mm-hmm.
Strikeout.
Yeah, I don't know what the schedules look like and, who the Cardinals are playing or who the Cubs are playing. I don't think it really matters with those guys.
No, both teams suck. It doesn't matter.
Because they always lose. It's just right. So they're on their own little island.
Okay, let's get our caller 100. All right. Right here and right now. And give everybody a shot at mystery sound, secret sound number one.
Very good.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello. Who's this, please?
Doreen.
Hi, where are you from?
I'm from Southern Maryland.
Beautiful. Listen, you have won the Titanic DVD.
Cool.
And you won this before you can buy it, courtesy of DVD Express. Pre-order Titanic, the biggest movie of all time, at DVDExpress.com, the best DVD store ever. And you've also qualified for Friday's weekly giveaway tomorrow. Oh, it's a short week this week. Tomorrow we're giving away a DVD player from DVD Express, so please make sure you're listening to the whole episode tomorrow.
I will.
All right, now, are you ready for secret sound number one?
I am ready.
Yeah, you're only going to have 15 seconds, so you have to really listen carefully.
This secret sound is worth $500.
Okie doke.
This is very exciting.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
And I'll say no help from Mike.
Right.
No help from Buzz, even if you guys come up with a sound.
Okay?
All
right.
Here is the secret sound. You now have 15 seconds.
Do I get more than one guess?
Give me more than one listen?
You mean more than one guess during the 15 seconds?
Right.
No, you get that's my egregious number.
Okay.
Final
how
answer.
About you were... Okay.
Hold on. I'll play it for you one more time.
Okay.
What is that?
It sounded like I'm on a cell phone, so it's kind of bad, but were you opening like a bag of chips?
No.
Oh, that's what I thought, too.
Yeah. We were not opening a bag of chips.
All that and a bag of chips.
Well, listen, we will add... $10.67.
Okay.
You're kidding.
No.
You're kidding. $10.67.
Well, we play it every time. That's adding $40 a day.
No, I'm not talking about that. It's just an interesting denomination there.
1067.
Of course I
that's
know.
Our dial frequency, Mike.
I know these things.
That means next time it's worth... $510.67.
$510.67 for you if you guess the secret sound. Is it now will it be a different sound next time?
No, a same sound.
Same sound. So, I mean, you get more money and you get a better chance at it.
Same sound every time, and we'll do it every hour on the show. That we can remember to do it every hour.
And they're very simple sounds.
Everyday sounds from around your house. Thank you for listening.
Okay.
Hold on a moment, please.
I love this game. I love this game because you know the answers, but we don't know the answers.
Right. Nobody else does.
I'm still pretty clueless about that sound.
The Chris Rock show that's on tonight on MTV. You know, I was just thinking, there's two reasons I'm going to watch that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And really, Chris Rock is the second reason.
Right.
The first reason has bushy eyebrows and silver hair.
Of course, because now, we own them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
MTV. And we don't own them. I mean, I know it sounds like our companies are one.
Mel owns them.
Right.
Mel owns CBS and Viacom and MTV.
Mm-hmm.
It says here in the newspaper today that Chris Rock is upset, and I would be upset also if I was him, is upset about this show tonight because of the crowd that's going to be in the auditorium.
Right.
99% of the people are going to be people who work in the record industry.
Industry, as Madonna says in Truth or Dare.
Right. There's not going to be a lot of regular people in the audience, and you know that when you're performing in front of your peers,
right?
You know, generally they're jaded.
Sure, right.
They don't want to laugh quite as much.
And it's, you know, it's the artists who are actually a little more forgiving, but the executives and the, you know, the power brokers and the record companies and all this, it's a pretty motley crew.
Right.
It really is.
Here's what he says. He says, it's a harder gig because there are half the seats they normally have, so it's 99% an industry crowd. That's horrible. I'd rather have a bunch of fans, but I'm a pro. You have to ignore the people in the audience and play to the camera.
Right? Absolutely. He's a smart guy. I like Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm. He's the funniest man.
Absolutely. Remember those conventions when all those record guys would be around those conventions? I mean, you get them all in one room. It's a pretty nasty group of people. Really, really just an unsavory group of people.
Very low life form. I was, I guess, in the grocery store the other day and saw on the cover of Time or Newsweek, one of those magazines, they had just up in the corner, is this the funniest man in America?
Wow, absolutely.
And it was Chris Rock giving one of his big toothy grins.
I think unquestionably.
Yeah.
He is really, he's certainly the best stand-up comic we have in America right now.
Yeah. Let me see. He says here, I hate Britney Spears. That's what Chris Rock says.
Makes me laugh when he just says that. You know, it's just a funny thing to say you hate Britney Spears.
But he also says he won't say that on the MTV show tonight.
Right.
Okay, because that would come off mean. He plans on making fun of the Backstreet Boys.
Excellent.
He plans on making fun of Michael Bolton, although he says that's very easy to do.
Yeah, right. But he'll still do it, and that's a good comedian, too.
Oh, yeah, I got my kid. We were on vacation last week. Bart and I were up on the boardwalk in Ocean City.
Mm-hmm.
We're just screwing around because the weather was so bad. That's
right.
All you can virtually do when you have the hurricane coming
sure.
up there.
Right.
We're on the boardwalk, walking around, going to the arcades and drinking lemonade and stuff. And we're doing that thing where he starts giving me a hard time, and I give him a hard time, and it's playful back and forth stuff. We got into a T-shirt shop, and he said something to me right before we got in. And I don't know what it was, but all bets were off. And
right.
As he started to walk towards the back of the store, which was loaded with kids, I said real loud, I said, hey, Bart, hey, look, there's a Backstreet Boys shirt. You love the Backstreet Boys. They're your favorite crew. And I saw his face just drop. And he went running out of the store.
Oh, God. Hey, paybacks are hell. Paybacks are hell.
And then later, you know, he tried to turn it around on me.
Right.
But it wasn't quite as funny.
Yeah.
You know, the second time when we'd be walking down the boardwalk and he'd say real loud, well, Dad, just because you love NSYNC, there's nothing wrong with that.
It was too late, though, right? You'd already had the
got him.
There. That's funny.
Absolutely got him.
That's funny. And, you know, at your age, you have a slightly thicker skin. You know, so he's a little more vulnerable with those type of moves.
Plus he was yelling stuff at me that he was going like, my dad has a gold record for Hanson. And I'm like, I did get a gold record for that Hanson record.
Right.
I'm proud of that. I thought that was a good record.
Mm-bop.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, Don. This is Omar. How are you doing?
Yes, hello. You're on the air, sir. Hello.
How old are you?
25.
Where are you calling from? What can we do for you?
I just wanted to know if I'm caller 100 or no.
Caller 100? We already got our caller 100, buddy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye, kid.
Bye-bye. Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike. It's great to have you back.
Thank you, sir.
Vacation. Hey, out here in Vermont today, it smells like poop. Hey.
Yeah, all right. Why does it smell like poop?
Well, there, you know, the poop trucks are out spraying the poop. Spraying the poop.
Here I was thinking he might have had something.
Joke,
no. No, it's the poop on the fields. The spray the poop. Smells like poop.
You're actually probably right up in Vermont. This is the season where they spread the manure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're so up in those fields up in Vermont.
Yeah.
And in lots of other places, they spread cow manure.
Yeah, I tell you, you can't put your laundry out. Oh, golly.
Okay.
Thank you. Golly.
Golly. That was a fake voice, right?
It was Ed McMahon calling.
Hello.
Harry.
Hi, Ed.
$18.
No, Ed, that's $18 million.
Oh, great one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and can't forget, we got to listen to the rest of those Jerry Lewis tapes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
Hello.
You guys kick ass.
Right, you kick ass. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate that affirmation.
Here we go. Things are back to normal now.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yes, hi.
How you guys doing?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
That's good. Hey, you guys were talking earlier about your son in the porno magazine.
Yes. Well, Playboy.
Yeah, Playboy doesn't count.
Playboy.
Hardcore porno.
All right, the Playboy. But he's 14, right?
Yep.
Now, what are you going to do when you find, like, a pack of cigarettes under his bed or in his dresser?
I'm not concerned with that. I don't think my son's the type that would smoke cigarettes. Mm-hmm. He's very not into that. I don't think he's into that either.
Well, you just gotta, you know, when you're a parent, you gotta kind of play it as it lies. You really do. You gotta roll with the punches. You gotta deal with situations.
He is only 14.
That's right. 14 years old.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Oh, hold on. What am I doing here?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, my brothers.
Hello, Thomas.
Hello there.
Tag. It's Thomas Aloysius Gavin.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Don.
Hi.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey, Tommy.
How you doing?
I'm all right,
Buzz. Tom, how do you spell secret sound?
Secret sound?
Yes.
SOCCENSOUND.
Right.
Fucking sound.
You got it. What can we do for you, Tommy?
How are you guys doing? I was just on the internet.
That's scary.
You may guys have watched it. Homer Joe's got some stuff on the news group. I think his email address is on there, too.
All right, Tom.
And pictures are, too, I think.
All right. Thanks for the update, Tom.
What? Yeah,
we stand forewarned, Tom.
Thank you, Tommy.
I'm the number one person...
Yes, you are.
Better than Dennis Murphy.
You are, right. Yes, absolutely.
You're the king. Thank you, Tom.
I'm the king.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That'd be a warning for any of you in chat groups, you know, on the internet. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you don't know who you're writing to on the other end of the computer.
No, absolutely.
You
know.
Well, I guarantee 9 times out of 10 it's Tom Gavin, you know, or one of his relatives.
Right. You can always tell, though, because when he signs in saying good morning, it's G-O-O-D-M-E-N-T.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi there.
Is this Don and Mike Show?
Yes.
Are we on the air?
Oh, please.
Not anymore.
Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, 25 now, but recently, when I was 15 years old and it was Christmas Day, I got into the stockings, and when you know it was a box of condoms.
Your mom and dad gave you condoms?
Yeah. Well, I had a girlfriend for, you know... 8 months or so, and I guess they thought,
hey man,
they better teach me the right way, you know.
I thought I was a pretty progressive parent, but I'm not buying my kid rubbers either.
I was pretty surprised. I kind of looked at the box, and I looked at my dad, and I said, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, it's so tough because you know that kids are doing stuff,
right.
And you know, but yet you don't want to give the wrong impression that you're being permissive, but yet if they're going to do something without your knowledge, if they might as well do it with
detection.
I mean, it's an interesting dilemma. It really is.
I will cross that bridge when I come to it.
The Playboy thing's a lot easier for me than that would be. You know,
no kid.
You know, if you're 15, 16-year-olds have been going out with somebody for 8 months as a steady girlfriend, and you were saying, would you give them protection? Would you go out and buy them? That's a tougher question for me than the Playboy question.
Really, if Bart came to me and he said there is a girl that I really care about and I've been going out for 8 months and I think we're going to do it, at that point, if he was 16, 17, I'd give him a rubber. I probably would.
That'd probably be the right thing to do. If my daughter was 16 or 17 and came and said, there's a boy that's interested, I'd say, before I do that, before we run out and go to the drugstore, is there a chance I could just have a little chat with him?
I can't wait till your kids get older, Mike.
I would just love to bring the boy over and let daddy talk to him a lot.
Hello, but I'm not buying my boy Playboy. That's all. He's 14. I'm not buying it for him now. Hello?
Oh, you dummy bastard. Did you find your wedding band?
Yes, I did. My wedding band, I'm glad you asked. It is right here.
Hey, you got it.
And it was the whole time in my car that was in the repair shop.
I thought you were going to say it was the whole time between two pillows.
No, it was in the car that was in the repair shop getting the dent taken out of
Excellent.
It.
Yep. Let me know if you lose it. I'll get you one.
And it says inside.
What does the inscription say, Don?
It says... Why did you make me quit my job in radio? Love, Frida. No, it says on the inside. Here you go. It says,
more than ever.
Oh, that's nice.
8793.
That's wonderful.
That's when I got the new wedding band.
That's terrific. That's nice. Glad you found that.
I got to remember that.
Put it back on your finger.
It's there, Mike.
Okay, there.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio Gods.
Hi.
What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I was just wondering, do you think Bart has actually seen any of your private stashes?
I don't have any private stashes at home.
No stashes at all?
Nope.
Another thing. Why does Freddie have to go back to work if you're on top of the radio industry there, Turkey?
Well, listen, Turkey, she does not have to go to work financially, of course.
Of course not.
Of course not. I mean, she can live a life of leisure. You know, she can suck off my teat for the rest of her days on this planet, to be honest. But my wife is a college-educated woman, and to be honest, she's got some ambition. I mean, you know, all that crap about radio aside, I think she could go out there and she could really do something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's her decision.
That's beautiful.
I know. I'm a beautiful man. Thank you, sir. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Radio Gods.
Hi there.
When you put Bart in trouble, my parents, what they did to me as an alternative to spanking, they put me in the closet, a big walk-in closet. My dad had a pile of Playboys in there. It was heaven.
Let me just say, first off, that's normal to put your kid in a closet, okay?
Yeah, I mean, it's not punishment.
With a stack of Playboys?
Was there a light in there?
Of course there was.
Oh, man, there was a light. So they just, when they get mad at you, they think that was punishment and completely forget about the Playboys? Or did your dad, didn't your dad know the Playboys were in there?
Not for about the first 3 or 4 years he did. And then he came back and I think he found all the pages sticky or something.
Oh.
Kind of a parent locks the kid in a closet, though. That's like the worst thing you can do.
I'm still in psychiatry today.
All right. That's what my parents did.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. They did not.
We had a small closet, though. With no Playboys.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yes, Don and Mike.
Yeah,
David
buddy.
Letterman last night put Big Daddy Mel Karmason's picture up and said he was the only executive to ever send him a greeting card.
Really?
Yeah.
We never got a card from Big Daddy Mel.
Never did. Never did.
Really? How big was the picture that Letterman put up of of CBS CEO Mel Karmason?
Pretty big, and he put up pictures of all the other executives and tried to call one of them. But Mel was the only one he said that has ever sent him a greeting card.
Tell Letterman, be careful with that.
Yeah, be careful. I bet he called the guys from GE over at NBC. I bet it was the guy from GE at his former employer.
Somebody named Red something.
I can't wait to hear the first time Letterman tries to call Mel on his show. Oh, my God. Especially if you don't want to call Mel, especially when you're running fourth in the ratings.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. That's the bottom line. That is the true bottom line.
Don, by the way, a great call with your wife on the air. That was...
Well, thank you.
That's highly entertaining.
That's my life. Hey, where's those... Robbie, where's those Letterman types?
Hi, it's your old pal, Dave.
Here you go, right. Here's what it might sound like when Dave Letterman calls Mel Karmason.
Hey, buddy, it's your old pal, Dave. I wonder if you would take a request. Yeah, go into real estate.
That's not for your wife, is it?
Oh, man.
My wife would be good at real estate if she chose real estate.
Yeah, anything she chooses to do.
Anything. She'd be great. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
She can work at the drugstore and sell the product that I saw today that I almost bought for everybody here.
What's that?
It was in one of those discount bins. It was underwear. It was boxer shorts. And I swear to God, the brand name was Big Yank. I swear to God, you could go to the CVS and you could see it. And I said, I didn't want to spend the $4.99. They were on special, $4.99.
You wouldn't pay $4.99 for a Big Yank?
I'd rather Big Yank.
I would.
I thought of Chris Farley. I really did.
You must play for the Yankees. Hello, John and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Sam Huff.
Hi, Sam.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hi, Sammy.
Hey, do you guys know what?
What?
Yesterday I was sitting and watching my television, and my second cousin, three times removed from West Virginia, Buford Huff, called me up.
Buford Huff.
Buford asked me, he said, Sam, let me tell you something. You know my son, Cletus? He wants to go to school down in Virginia. Can he live with you? And I said, you know what, Buford? That's fine. I love you, son Cletus. I love you. You're my cousin. I'm sorry your wife Mildred died. She was another cousin. I tell you what, Mildred was a great woman. But Yeah, my cousin Cletus, the son of my second cousin three times removed, is coming to live with me.
Would that be Cletus Huff, Sam?
That would be Cletus Huff, and he's related to Sam Huff, the greatest linebacker in the NFL.
And you mentioned your poor cousin Mildred, she passed away. I guess you could say that she...
came up on the short end of the stick.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for that lengthy story, Sam.
Great.
I think we were all collectively kind of wondering where he was going to go.
Yeah.
If there was an end to that story,
absolutely.
I do not believe there was an end to that story.
One of our very favorite one-trick ponies, Mr. Sam Hoss.
I do not think so. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Listen, Don, when are you going to realize that sometimes a woman just wants a fried egg? Why can't she have a fried egg?
You know who this is? Let me just stop it. This is the
Robert
guy.
De Niro guy.
This is the You Blew It guy.
Listen, Don, you had a chance. Just let her get a job.
See, he was going to do it, though.
He was going to say, you blew it.
Right.
Right?
Weren't you?
Egg!
Oh, it's the same guy that does that, too.
Egg!
Oh,
I
didn't know. Didn't you know that?
No, I didn't know
it was the same guy. Yeah.
So he would be a two-trick pony.
Egg!
Keep killing me!
Keep killing me!
Egg!
Live!
All right, let's see him do this one.
Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and diamond. Mr. Clean gets rid of dirt and diamond.
Goodbye, you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Right, really? I just realized what that was. Yeah, it took me a minute to. It was F-66, I believe, referring to the one of the fine highways here in the Washington, D.C.
Are you sure he wasn't talking about Joe Jacoby?
I didn't think that was fair. I'm Frankenstein.
No. My wife enjoys them.
We would not be undersold. What do you say, F me? F you. F you. That was very unkind. That was very unkind. Clean this off.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, buddy.
I was just wondering, are you going home tonight?
Yes, I'm petrified to go home tonight. Are you kidding me? Come on.
That's right. I just,
Right.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh, buddy. Oh,
petrified.
Let's guys speak. You know, sometimes we guys
unspoken language. Right. I'm afraid to go home.
So you're gonna get out of that car. What you're saying is you get out of the car, walk in, and show.
Hello, last call. Don and Mike show.
Huh? You picked up that line, and there was.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don.
Baldy.
Hey, Don.
Baldy.
One question you forgot to ask your wife.
Yes.
What haven't I done for you?
That's a good one. I should have always think, what would Mel say?
Absolutely. What haven't I done for you?
And did you...
Hey.
Listen, not to beat this Mel Karmazin horse dead. But did you see him last night on the news?
No, I did not.
Oh, my God.
Last prominently night. Featured, eh?
Access Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Entertainment Tonight.
Very popular. Very popular man right now. Very powerful. A genius. Mm-hmm. And deserves every success.
Amen. And I heard he was in town yesterday. He was here in D.C. yesterday.
Yes, he and Sumner Redstone were going before the commission to discuss several issues, based on their ownership of multiple properties.
He didn't drop by to say hello. It's too bad. Must have been too busy to drop by.
Very busy.
And say hello to us, his biggest asset.
I understand. And, he is so busy with the new purchase that, he didn't have time to drop by. But we understand that. Even we, his greatest assets, understand that.
Hello, Don and Mike. Oh, your radio's up too loud. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Gotta say one thing, though. God, I love him.
Hello.
Maybe he'll say
I really
card.
Do, Don. Me
I
too, really Mike.
Do. I know you do.
Hello. What is this? They got bad breath or something? Hello, Don. Mike show.
Hi. What's up, guys?
Hey, my friend.
I just wanted to say, Don, that I completely agree with you, and Bart should not be able to read Playboy until he's older.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, because I wouldn't have made that decision without your input. Thank you, though, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Listen, let's get to these Jerry tapes.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, we only listened to just a few of our Jerry Lewis tapes.
A very few. A very small few.
Remember, we heard, for instance, we heard Ed screw up the tote when Ed said they had $17,000, when in fact they had $17 million.
Right now, Ed, you know what? I would like you to take a look at the tote board, sir.
I'd love to do that. Let's see it. Yes. I like that number, 17,000.
and thank you. Brought us good luck, Tyler.
Yeah. Ed, count the numbers again.
17,000.
17.
What did I say, thousand?
Million, baby.
See, I'm just trying to get you angry with me so you'll give me more money. That's what.
Oh,
17 million. Right,
Ed. Funny. Listen to the tape again and listen. As soon as he says thousand, the director, sounding really annoyed, goes, million, million. Really? And you got to know, this is the guy who's been directing Ed for like 6 hours in the overnight. Listen to it again. Listen for the, right, the four directors.
Here's just the beginning.
Right now, Ed, you know what? I would like you to take a look at the tote board, sir.
I'd love to do that. All right, let's see it. Number 17,000. Oh, thank you. Brought us good luck, Tyler.
No. Ed.
Isn't that the guy off mic again?
Yeah.
Million,
Ed.
Okay. And then we had Ed introing Kevin Meaney.
Right.
We thought Ed sounded a little drunk there.
Mm-hmm.
We had Jerry's weird AT&T speech.
Yes. Right.
How about Jerry? I know we have to do a break. Let's hear Jerry do what's labeled the worst intro of the night.
Ah, very good.
And Rob, why was this selected as the worst intro of the night?
Personal favorite of mine. I think you should just listen.
Very good. All right, here you go. Jerry Lewis.
We first saw these gentlemen perform at the annual convention of the SPEBSQ. What? We saw these gentlemen perform at the annual convention of the Spegastec-QQ. That.
Where did you see them?
Yeah, SPEBSQSA. Does that mean something? Look at this. I got 130 guys that aren't going to talk to me.
Oh, very close to
Society for the Preservation and Encouragement of Barbershop Quartet Singing in America.
Oh, yeah. Right. There's great talent.
They were named International Chorus Champions for the fourth time. Now these guys are a little bigger than a quartet. There's 130 of them, which makes a lot of a quartet. And whoever wrote this will be in Florsheim on Monday.
Not the guy who read it, though.
We'll have a meeting in the next hour break, please. I want to find out what Yugoslavian fruitcake wrote this.
We took these things from your notes.
Thank you very much.
Okay, man.
Is that late in the show, Rob?
That was like hour two.
Hour number two.
Oh, God.
Jerry doesn't sound like himself. I mean, really, he does. He sounds like maybe the meningitis that he contracted in Australia has gotten to him a little.
You want to hear Jerry introduce Duran Duran?
Yeah.
You know, even when Jerry doesn't do anything.
Duran Duran.
Even when he doesn't do anything funny.
Right.
It's just funny to hear Jerry Lewis introduce anybody who's at least moderately
right
current.
Sure.
And note the number of times he says they're marvelous.
Marvelous.
They're marvelous.
Okay, fellas, get a tight hold of your ladies, because it's a safe bet that they have a long-standing crush on at least one of the members of this next band. They are in the middle of a world tour, and we're excited to bring you this look in on their concert at the Concord Pavilion in Concord, California. Here they are, the great Duran Duran.
Okay, so then here's Duran Duran.
He's going to play the next song. Jerry Lewis and his kid.
Thank you, Duran Duran, for a marvelous, marvelous concert.
Marvelous. They were marvelous.
A marvelous, marvelous concert.
Thank you for a marvelous, marvelous concert.
Ladies.
Duran Duran.
I'm sure you had a crush on these. Wine time. Yeah, Duran Duran.
Grab your honey.
Okay, fellas, get a tight hold of your ladies, because it's a safe bet that they have a long-standing crush on at least one of the members of this next band.
This.
They are in the middle of a world tour, and we're excited to bring you this look in on their concert at the Concord Pavilion in Concord, California. Here they are, the great Duran Duran.
And this was all taped
right
in advance, sure. VH1 stuff.
Jerry Lewis and his kids.
Thank you, Duran Duran, for a marvelous, marvelous concert.
Concert. Always going up at the end, you know. For a marvelous, marvelous concert.
Marvelous concert.
That is my sanctimonious way of talking.
All right, we heard Jerry introduce Carrot Top yesterday, right?
Carrot Top.
Carrot Top. You know him as Scott Thompson. Oh, we still haven't heard Jerry's shtick with Martin Short.
Oh God.
We haven't heard Jerry's $25 speech. What is it, where he urges everybody to send $25?
Well, $5 for five charities.
All right.
All right, and then we have the tape of Jerry crying.
Ah, very good.
You know, and I know we're a couple days late on this, but we just got back from vacation yesterday.
I understand.
So let's do a quick break, and we'll come right back and listen to more of Jerry.
I understand. Thank you, Don. And we'll be right back.
Marvelous.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Right? Shot at Secret Sound number one coming up in a moment. Vegas style show now, less than 2 weeks away. Wednesday, September 22nd. FDABC Board of Virginia, we're going back to Baltimore.
But damn you, Dyson there, boy!
Vegas style show, Wednesday, September 22nd. We hit the stage at 9. Don't forget, you gotta be 21 to get in, because this is an adult show.
Yes, if we haven't made that clear before, let us make it clear once again. This is for adults only.
At Fredonia Station, Las Vegas style show, 1 week from next Wednesday, the 22nd, and we are looking forward to it. You know, we still haven't heard the Homo Joe Beach House tapes.
No, we haven't. Done.
We will get to that in just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, please remind me, I do want to talk to you about Jennifer Love Hewitt's breath.
Oh, that's good. Fine subject.
Fantasy football. I guess we'll talk about that tomorrow since we have our big draft on Saturday.
Yeah.
When I was out at Redskins Park yesterday, Coach Norv came up to me.
Right.
I didn't come up to him. Came up to me, Coach Norv Turner of the Redskins, and said that he tried to call the show on Tuesday,
when we weren't here.
Now, fortunately, we were playing tapes, and also, fortunately, he called on the request line, so the line was busy.
Oh, dear.
He said, and I'm only mentioning this now, well, actually, partly to drop name, but partly to tell you to put pressure on him, to tell everybody, he said he was going to call us tomorrow.
All right, ooh. So we have to put pressure on him to make sure he does that.
He said he would call before the Dallas game, and of course, listen, Norv's pissed at WJFK.
Right.
And Norv is pissed at Channel 7 here in town because they canned his radio show and they canned his TV show.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, 5 straight years of not making the playoffs, you know, loses you your radio and your TV gig.
Well, it'll be interesting if he does call to get his insight on some of those things and how he's really feeling. And, you know, if he's calling voluntarily, maybe it'll be a new, improved Norv who'll really want to tell it like it is, but I'm not optimistic.
When I saw him yesterday, he said, you know, and I can't do the imitation like you. He said,
right.
I want to call the show. I want to call you guys. I want to call you. I'm going
to
call you on Friday. I said, hey, great. Then he said, go give Linda the number. That's the secretary.
Right.
I went back by the office. I gave her the hotline number. He says, I'm going to call you Friday because we're going to win on Sunday. We're going to win. We're going to beat Dallas.
I like that.
Okay, Norm.
I like that attitude.
I'm with you, baby.
That's terrific.
I'm with you, even though I picked the team to go 8-8 this year. Although I do think they will split with Dallas.
That's good. So you think they've got a 50-50 chance of winning the game on Sunday.
They'll win one of those games against Dallas.
Wait till you see Irving Fryer rack up all those touchdowns. And, I get laughed. I get mocked.
You
but
do.
I am sorry. And I know he's not the number one guy. Probably not even the number two guy. But I think that this gentleman, Mr. Irving Fryer, the greatest receiver in the history of the NFL, is going to rack up points upon points upon. He is going to catch a lot of TDs because they're not going to be paying attention to him. They say he's all washed up and he's going to catch lots of touchdown passes.
Mike, on my draft board.
Yes. Which you've already completed, and I know you're very proud of that.
I, as you can see, Buzz, have already printed out top 40 wide receivers in the NFL.
Man.
I do not have Irving Fryer listed among the top 40.
That's a mistake.
Wow.
That's a big mistake.
I don't. And I got a real dilemma with pick number 4. Because I think that Ricky Williams might fall all the way to number 4.
You really do?
Yeah,
I think so. And you're sitting at number 4?
At number 4.
I'm number 8.
I'm thinking about taking Ricky Williams if he falls all the way to number 4.
And why am I number 8? Why am I so low in the pick?
Because you did so good last year.
He knew it. He knew it when he answered that. He knew that I knew.
He knew that I knew.
That's right. And I knew that you knew that I knew.
Okay, let's see. And obviously, I didn't do too good because I'm picking number 4 in the draft this year.
I think it'll all settle into the real thing, you know, the real football knowledge this year. Because you know something? Even at this time last year, even with my lack of football knowledge, relative lack, I mean, I'm a fan like everybody else, but I don't follow it like some of you guys do. I will tell you this, I was much better prepared going into the draft. I haven't. I mean, I'd at least I'd gone out. I'd gotten a couple of books. I'd hopped on the net before this time. I haven't done.
You haven't done anything yet?
No. I haven't. Laura actually went out to the bookstore and brought me home a fantasy football magazine. I don't even know where it is. I like passes. It's boring. It's completely, like, nerd-rific boring. I threw it away.
Well, that draft is Saturday morning. And please remember from last year, don't be late.
I'll tell you this right now. What? No. Let me tell you something right now. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there before anybody else gets there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be set up with everything for everybody.
Good.
Bringing all sorts of treats.
Excellent. Look forward to it.
It's going to be very exciting.
Listen, the Jerry Lewis tapes. Oh, and Homo Joe's on the phone.
Wow. Not a bike Homo Joe here.
Homo Joe, not quite yet, Homo.
Okay.
Give me
a call at home then.
Give me another break or two, okay?
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Homo. Are you at home now?
Yeah.
You in your Homo mansion now?
I'm in my Homo mansion downtown by Bill Clinton.
The Homo Joe home.
Homo Joe home here.
You got yourself a young one down there?
Not yet.
A youngin?
Did you get yourself a youngin at the beach?
Well, maybe I did. We'll talk about that. We talked about the segment.
All right. Thank
story
you,
there.
Homo Joe.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You know, little tidbit.
Homo Joe was at the beach house all over the Labor Day weekend with all of the kooky, crazy listeners that we put together.
Right.
And we will hear the raw, unedited tape and Joe's comments in just a moment.
Right. You heard him say it.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye, homosexual Joseph.
Homo Joe out.
All right, goodbye. Just a little tip bit.
Homo Joe here. Mm-hmm. All right, let's finish up these Jerry Lewis tapes. Here's Jerry's $25 speech.
Okay.
And then Jerry intros the Gap dancers. Now, who are these? The people that are in the Gap commercials?
Yeah, the swing dancers.
Oh, my God. They had nobody on this telephone with any talent this year. Nobody. All right, here's Jerry's $25 speech.
You know what? Oh, I need this. You know what's very interesting? We are all touched by something during the course of the year, for year in and year out, for people that need help. And I thought to myself, about 10 years ago, on the telethon, I had asked the audience to allocate $25 a year. And I'm asking you to do that again, because it was very productive. I'm asking you, the viewer, to allocate $25 a year. $5 for cancer, $5 for heart, $5 for the United Negro College Fund, and $5 for the Children's Miracle Network, and of course $5 MDA.
I was wondering at the beginning why you had pulled this tape, Robin. Now I see why.
He
doesn't even know what these other charities are.
He loses it at the end.
I'd like you to spend the $5 with us first, then take care of the others, and you're really doing a great thing for a lot of people that need your help. And in that way, you'll feel pretty secure and no guilt that you gave to one and not the other. But I think it's a good idea. Send us the $5 first, and I'll give you that list later on.
Sure.
To take care of them as well.
Right. Sure.
Now, Jerry Evans has choreographed for movies, television, music videos, and concerts of people like Paula Abdul, Reba McEntire. Recently, he put together the steps for those Gap kids with all the Gap ads with
crazy
all those khaki clad kids. He's put together a group of those dancers just for us.
So bad.
Let's hear it for the Jerry Evans Gap dancers right here.
Right here. There you go.
He's so bad. Yeah.
I mean, you know,
so bad. We have said this time and time again. Nothing against MDA and the work they do. Fine. But with Jerry, you know, he's talking to a national TV audience. He said, I want you to give $5 to these charities. Well, I mean, when you're talking about how many worthy causes are there in the United States?
He thinks those are the top five.
Jerry.
Heart.
Telling us.
Heart.
That's right. Absolutely.
United Negro College Fund, the
cancer, the children.
You don't add up all the money. I mean, I agree. I think it's a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
But Christ's sake, in the 90s alone,
mm-hmm.
they've raised almost 1, 2, 3, 4 almost $500 million.
It's truly amazing.
And he's been doing this telethon for how many years, Robbie?
This was his 49th year of the telethon, but he's raised, I think, $1.6 billion. I think was the number that
you know what I'd say? I'd say to those doctors, hey, hello.
Right.
Hey, where's that cure?
But they've made progress.
Yeah. Where's that cure? $1.6 billion.
Now, Rob says they've made progress?
They've got neat cartoons, and they explain this time and time again. What they're doing is they're attaching good genes to viruses, and they're actually going in and correcting the stuff. They just started the experiments a week ago Thursday. So
well,
they're saying.
But haven't they said for years that they're making progress? I mean, I don't doubt that they're working hard, but.
Sure they are,
but
yeah.
But for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years in a row of over $50 million.
Well, right? Whenever, you know, and I'm once again, I have to always qualify this because people are going to get mad, but I'm going to tell you right now, when you're dealing with an organization that's that large, that
yeah.
has that kind of infrastructure, you're dealing with a lot of money that goes to support the support staff that
right.
works on
you're right about
like
that.
Telethon that
right.
works on, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, when you add it up, it's not like all that money goes right to, you know, to the doctors. It really
I guess you're right, and that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
That I got to take out the operating cost.
Absolutely.
Out of that.
But
absolutely.
This was their most optimistic telethon in probably 20 years.
I wish
they had
I'd love
a lot
to see
of
more
fans.
Of that. God, I would love to see more
Don't
of that.
Don't you know that Jerry really probably had a plan with the producers that he'd like to find a cure for next year?
Mm-hmm.
So it could be just as you cross the millennium, mm-hmm. it would be the 50th telethon.
Yeah, it's obviously Jerry, sick or no sick.
Right,
yeah,
you know,
that's what he
took
wants.
Some time off, he's ready to say
he
retire.
Could retire,
mm-hmm.
and he could stand out there mm-hmm. going, that's it, goodbye.
We did it.
I'm off to tour with Dan Yankee.
Hey, lady, and hey, I'd be happy too. I'd love to see that, you know, because,
yeah.
you know, you'd have two good things happening if that happened. First of all, you'd have the cure that we've all been donating money for.
Amen.
You'd have the cure.
The cure.
And then you would have the ultimate,
cure.
I am God, of. I am Jerry Lewis, I am God speech, which would be highly entertaining.
We get years out of that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Here he is doing shtick with a guy who I generally think to be pretty funny, Mr. Martin Short. You don't like Martin Short?
I hate Martin Short.
I'm a huge Martin Short fan.
I can't stand Martin
really
Short.
Really funny. But here he is trying to do some shtick with Jerry.
When you think about funny, you think about people that are funny, and the funny that comes from their bones. There are certain people that are born with funny, that are made specifically to make other people laugh. And we have one of the champions of that particular area of our dramatic reference, as it were. We present him to you tonight. I'm thrilled to have him on the show, Mr. Martin Short, ladies and gentlemen, right here. Right here.
Born with funny.
Born with funny. I am Martin.
How are you, Jerry? God bless you.
How's your show going?
It's going very well. You mean the Martin Short Show starting September 13th? Let's not go there. It's all about you.
Oh, no, it's about you. I wanted you to let the people know that your show is on so everyone can see the funny humor, laughing and joy.
Sorry. I'm sorry. He's starting to sound like Bob Hope.
So everyone can see the funny, the joy.
You know, the voice is getting into the Bob Hope stratosphere. I'm an entertainer that's been on stage too long, voice.
Won't it be great when Jerry gets feeved out like that?
I know.
Won't it be great?
He's on his way.
Phase one.
I can't wait.
It's about time that Martin and Lewis were together again.
Yes.
Hey.
You'd have to be taller.
No, I know.
Hey, Pally. How are you doing, baby?
Not bad, baby.
Hey. Somebody asked me if Dean really drank, and they said one night he was walking around with a snake trying to kill a stick.
Huh? Rob was laughing at that one.
Okay, Rob,
any Dean
Rob
and Jerry
doesn't
references.
Count.
I know.
Rob doesn't count.
I know.
Hey, Jerry, you look fantastic.
Thank you.
You
so
are
much.
So damn boyish looking. Why, I looked at the monitor, I thought it was K.D. Lang. You know.
All right, great stick. Thank you, guys.
Wow.
Thank you. Now, here's Jerry singing with Martin Short. Jerry is a little offbeat.
Right.
Or maybe Jerry's a beat off, and Martin Short saves him.
Oh, very good. Okay, here we go.
Made glad with that dreary job.
I'm sorry. Is there any way of fast forward? Do you hear that sound?
Yeah, well, I'll have to wait for it to recue
okay.
and hear it again.
The sound.
Yeah.
There's really like a.
Goodbye for anything theatrical and why.
Jerry.
There's no business like show. Where do you see hey, hey, hey?
I was just going to.
It ended with anything theatrical and why.
Well, I was just.
And we go right into there's no business like show business.
Ugh. You want to hear the beginning again? Just because there's. I think it's coming from Jerry and it's really a. It's like a. Okay, here it is.
And then finally. There's Jerry crying.
Ah, okay. Right.
Jerry losing
it
now.
The culminate.
Here we go.
Yeah!
After Ed tells them they have $51,000.
Yeah!
Thank you very much.
Or whatever they had.
It's a marvelous thing.
Marvelous.
To see the love out there.
Marvelous.
And that it shows up like that. It's wonderful. Because it makes everybody feel so good.
Marvelous.
That the world we live in is not pessimistic. It's optimistic. And that the world we live in is good. And we care about one another. And I think it's wonderful.
It's marvelous.
I thank you all so much.
That was it? That's as emotional as
he
got?
That's the best he did this
year. He was sick. He was sick this year, Don. He was sick, as you can tell. And there were a couple of things, you know.
He's marvelous. Oh, here's the final tip.
Okay.
Can you hear the thunder?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Want to see the lightning?
Yeah, let me see.
Go ahead.
Holy Jesus!
You know, I have to say, based on the fact that every year after Labor Day, we listen to the tapes.
Right.
This is the weakest.
Yeah!
We've torn him down when we have to give him credit where credit is due.
He can you hear the thunder?
Yeah, what are you
want
doing?
Want to see the lightning?
Yeah, let me see. Holy
Jesus! Ed whips out his pants.
You want to see the thunder? Here's my lightning bolt. Look at this, Jerry.
Jerry, I've been waiting to show you this for years.
Very weak bunch of Jerry tapes.
Yes, well, it was all Jerry being ill.
He was sick.
All right. Maybe next year he'll be stronger. Maybe next year we get the speech where they find the cure and the two good things happen. We get the cure and we get Jerry, you know, paying tribute to himself.
You know, I'm looking through and I'm thinking about the only one worth keeping this year is when Ed screws up the tote and says they got 17,000.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm.
The rest of them can all go, Robbie.
I agree.
There you go.
Rob will keep them.
Another wasted 21 hours out of your life, Rob.
22 and a half.
Good work, Rob.
Rob really does watch
right.
The entire telethon so we can get those tapes.
And just remember, he was so drunk, he was walking around carrying a snake trying to kill his fish.
Right. Funny line. I'll write that down.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, listen, what I wanted to talk about was Jennifer Love Hewitt and her boobs.
Ah, wonderful. Some of the best boobs in show business.
Let's do a break, and then we'll come right back to talk about her boobs.
Excellent.
Oh, who's this on the phone? Is this an important call? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, you got to keep that last one you just played. That's funny. He goes, holy Jesus.
You think we should keep that one?
Yeah.
That one has a lot of raw energy.
Let me hear it again.
Can you hear the thunder?
Yeah, what are you
want
doing?
Want to see the lightning?
Yeah, let me see. Holy Jesus.
I just invented it.
Yeah.
You think so, huh?
All right. Holy crap!
Yes, I believe that is a keeper, especially when you punctuate it with that incredible keyboard you have.
Okay, well, we'll talk about Jennifer Love Hewitt's boobs in a moment. But first, let's get a caller 100.
Can you feel the thunder?
Not only a prize package selected especially for you, but your next chance to identify the secret sound.
Yes, you want to see the lightning?
And win $510.67 if you are caller 100 right now. Phone number 1-800-1-877-365-3636.
Or Upen Kendo.
Or Upen Lendo.
Can you hear the thunder?
Yeah, what are you
want
doing?
Want to see the lightning?
Let me see.
Holy Jesus!
And the rain is running down my leg.
Look at that.
Holy crap.
I like
it. You know, maybe the guys are getting for the very end of that.
Yeah. It's growing on me, absolutely.
All right, that's at least one keeper. We'll do the secret sound when we come right back. Of all time at DVDExpress.com, the best DVD store ever. Go to DVDExpress.com for an unbeatable selection, low prices, great service, and fast shipping.
They have lots of them.
They have thousands of them, Mike.
That's right. Yes, see, I didn't know that unless you told me.
Tomorrow we'll be giving away a DVD player. That is our weekly prize. All right. Are you ready for secret sound number one?
I'm ready.
Did you hear it before?
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you another listen, and then I'll give you 15 seconds to think about it, okay?
Okay.
And if you win, you get $510.67.
Excellent.
Here is secret sound number one. Okay, now we'll give you 15 15 seconds to think about it.
Okay. Well,
hold on. I'll give you. I'm going to try to be like Regis now. Okay. That's right. Now, don't give us your final answer until you're ready.
One.
To win $510.67. Are you confident?
Yes.
Okay, your final answer. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What is that?
Is it a newspaper?
Would you repeat that, please?
A newspaper.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you don't win the $1 million.
Absolutely not.
Oh, well.
Not a newspaper. Secret sound number one. So we will add $10.67, which makes no sense around the country, but here in D.C.,
right.
Our dial position is 106.7 FM.
And you need a calculator to get us the total.
Yes.
$521.34.
Somebody added it up in advance.
You are correct, sir.
There you go.
No, I just did that off the top of my head, Mike.
Well, you're good with numbers.
Not that good.
All right.
521.34. Still working on secret sound number one. And we will take another call in the next hour if we can remember to get to it.
That was $521.34, Don?
That's it.
All right.
For secret sound jackpot number one. Now, about Jennifer Love Hewitt's breast. And before we get to her breast, did you notice that our show, King of Queens, last week, they realized that in the overall ratings of all shows that came in number nine, and do you also realize...
That's top ten, baby.
Do you realize that it had a higher rating than...
It went up against Frasier and beat and tied with Frasier, and was second only to Everybody Loves Raymond among comedies on television last
week. That's exactly what I was going to say, Buzz.
Just wanted to help you out there.
See how great it did?
And I don't want to be a downer, but do you realize that all the new episodes this year will not have our picture on that refrigerator?
Only the first four episodes. Only the first four. And then Leah says that after that, they'll have the big giant 8x10 of us up on the fridge.
If we get it to them, right? So
she's got it already.
She's got it?
We air expressed it to her the next day after she was on
the
show.
Good, okay.
And, you know, we will broadcast live from Los Angeles. I think a week from this coming Monday, we do our annual show from CBS. Where we will broadcast from CBS Television City. We'll have all the Everybody Loves Raymond people on, all of our friends from King of Queens.
Right.
We have to, at some point, call Dick Van Patten to see if he can get us into the Playboy Mansion.
We really want to go to the Playboy Mansion on this trip.
We want to go with our satellite and broadcast there.
Right.
And also, you remember the last time we had her on the show, we did ask Leah Remini if we could come to her house, and she said yes.
Yes, she did. She said unequivocally yes.
So we're going to try to work all of that into the schedule.
Cool.
So King of Queens doing great in the radio. Jennifer Love Hewitt. Okay? I read this last week when I was on vacation. I don't remember what magazine it is. Is it one of those Us or something like that? People, one of those magazines. They had a giant article all about her boobs.
Martha Stewart Living.
All about Jennifer Love Hewitt's breasts.
Just focusing on her breasts.
And the picture, I mean, was... Of her face was almost like Beetlejuice, the way they did the picture.
Right, and all her breasts.
You know, in the end of Beetlejuice, where the body's real big and the head's real small?
Come on!
The way that they shot her was from the waist up with the camera down here and looking up.
So kind of like you're looking up into a Christmas ornament.
So all you see
are these... two Christmas ornaments.
But these huge boobs. So I bought the magazine.
Right.
Because it says all about Jennifer Love Hewitt. And I got into reading the magazine. And here's the controversy. Maybe somebody out there knows this true or not. Jennifer Love Hewitt says, and she wants everybody to know, that her breasts are real.
Mm-hmm.
That she is concerned that there is a story going around Hollywood.
Right.
That she had a breast job.
Okay.
And she wants everybody to know that her breasts are real. And the quote in the article said, "I'm going to prove to everybody that they're real." Really? You want to prove to everybody that your breasts are real, Jennifer? You
do. We've got an open forum right here if you'd like to do that.
Right here, Jennifer.
Oh, boy. I believe her. I think they are real.
Yeah, I think they're real.
I'm going to have to see. They have that real look in the... what's that horror movie? What the heck is that? The name of
Scream?
Scream, yeah.
I
know what you did last summer, where she's really running around with the cleavage.
Yeah.
They just have a real look to her. Yeah. I mean, they really, really
do. I think they're real, but she was concerned. And the way that the story read, apparently a lot of people are saying that she's had a boob job.
Right.
Oh.
I think she has.
Oh, all right. Well, so here you go. Why do you think she's had a boob job?
Because she is so squatty.
skinny. She's like, oh, I hate her. She is just so skinny. She is so ugly.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. All right, now that we've identified where you're coming from.
From the cat house.
Right. Can you give me a logical reason why you think she's had a breast job? Outside of the fact that you're jealous of her big boobs?
I am not jealous of her big boobs. I just think that when she was dating Carson Daly, she just looked so nasty. When she was at the MTV Music Awards or the Movie Awards, she just looked awful.
Awful? How could that woman look awful?
No.
I just don't think she looks pretty. I think I could kick her butt.
We're not talking about if you could kick her butt or if she's attractive. We're just talking about the breast.
And since we are talking about the breasts, are yours real?
Mine are all real.
Really?
I just think that she should...
She should what, honey?
I can't explain it. She's so fake.
What's that, dear?
I can't stand how she acts and her breasts are just awful.
Right. Yours must be absolutely tiny, right?
Big. I'm telling you, mine are huge.
No, what are your vital statistics, dear?
No. Listen, cupcake.
What am I, what?
Your vital statistics.
What does that mean?
Duh. Cupcake, yours have got to be smaller than your IQ. I mean that. And I think your IQ is what, not 20.
Hello. All right. Well, goodbye. All right. Be that way.
I thought that went very well.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello.
Ooh, yeah,
hello.
You know, and my wife and I are pretty big Party of Five fans.
Right.
And in the very beginning, when she first shows up, she wears like a lot of baggy clothes. And the baggy clothes, you can still tell that they're huge.
So you think...
You know, that was when she first debuted on television.
So the whole time she's been on that show, she's had huge ones, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, okay, I think so.
All right,
I'm with you. You know, I might be up someday for doing a rating. I know we've rated women ad nauseum here.
Yeah, we have.
I might be up for just rating breasts.
Not breasts in Hollywood?
Not the whole package, not the face, not the butt. Just the breast.
You know, you open yourself up to a lot of women who wouldn't necessarily make the list.
Right.
You know,
that's exactly my point.
But their breast. And you can, and you know, old, young. You know, I would say that Beverly D'Angelo would be an example of a woman who would probably not make the list on her own, the whole package, but her breasts might very well make the list.
Maybe in her heyday she could. I mean, if you're going to talk about women who in their heyday had nice breasts.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about her before the show. That old bitch from Who's the Boss?
Catherine Helmand.
Right.
Yes.
She's got some knockers.
She does indeed.
Right, although now, I can't imagine what they look like now.
They looked, I was surprised they looked as good as they did back when she was doing soap.
She had quite a rack back then. Hello?
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi there.
Hey, when she debuted on TV, which wasn't Party of Five, it was some show with Timothy Butsfield over in Hawaii Blue or something like that.
Yeah?
She was like 13, 14 years old and she had those big old eyes.
I think that really, more than anything else, is right. But you know, I should point out that there's that popular school of thought that says everyone has had work done in Hollywood.
Well, you know, she must be hearing it a lot, or she must be very self-conscious, or she must not have a lot of confidence, because why else would you agree to this article in which you're going to spend the whole time saying that your breasts are not fake?
Well, it was like Sigourney Weaver when somebody saw her and she had lost a lot of weight and she was really cut and she looked, and somebody in back of her said she must have had something done, and she turned around and said, yeah, when I had something done, I worked my ass off, because everybody thinks that everybody's had plastic surgery. If you look good on any level, you have had to have had. I remember when we found out Halle Berry had
breast
augment, and that crushed me, because I always thought Halle Berry's were real.
Hello.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Right on. Listen, how old is Jennifer Love Hewitt? About 20 or so?
21, maybe, something like that, yeah.
Okay. 21. I'm thinking the same thing with her as applies with Britney Spears. These chicks are young, and they're still growing, and everybody thinks they're getting boob jobs, but, you know, they're not getting boob jobs.
That's so funny. Young and growing.
Growing.
Her boobs are just young and growing, man. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that the best evidence, though, is somebody that saw her as a youngster and said that even back then, you know, she showed signs of having these large breasts, and now that would be proof that perhaps... And if she's getting out, if you're getting out there and saying, hey, I'll prove it, if you're really saying stuff like that, you'd have no interest in doing that if it was fake.
They'd be in my top five.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike. How are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Great. You know what? I really don't care if they are real or not. They're still beautiful. I just wish she would come out and say that she's actually singing on her records. I don't think she actually does the singing.
Indeed. No, I think, didn't we cover that when we heard that awful record that she made about a year ago?
She's singing. It's just covered up with a lot of crap like they do with people that can't sing.
Background singers. She was on, I think it was the Movie Awards or some awards show that she, everybody else that was there was singing live, like Will Smith and everything. She's the only one that had a track and she was singing off, she was lip singing off of the track.
You know what? Thank you. I was looking at the list of women that we've rated here,
and I see Rene Russo.
And I saw Rene Russo's boobs in the Thomas Crown Affair last week on vacation.
Right, right.
And I think a couple days ago I was telling you guys how disappointed I was with those boobs.
Mm-hmm.
She's 45, and I do have a point of reference because my wife is 44.
Mm-hmm.
My wife's boobs are a million times better looking than Rene Russo's boobs, and they are roughly the same age. I'd say my wife's a good-looking woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say right there, Rene Russo. Well, I see, I did drop her. I did drop her rating once I saw her topless. From a 6.8 to a 3.8.
3.8, and I joined you on that 3.8, giving her a 3.8.
So she would be a celebrity who would rate out very low on the breast scale, I think.
Mm-hmm. If we were talking about the best breasts in Hollywood, you know, rating the breasts, you'd have to, and that's when you get into the whole question about real, fake, real, fake.
Well, hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don. I have a comment about Jennifer Love Hewitt's breasts.
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe she's defending them because she's not real proud of them.
How could she not be?
I have huge breasts, and I hate them.
Oh, don't.
They're just too huge.
Don't even say that.
There is a point when they're too big.
Oh, how big are they?
44D.
Oh,
44D is fine.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's fine.
Oh, you don't be mad at your breasts.
No, well, make them your friend.
That's why she's defending them. Maybe she's thinking others are thinking they're too large.
Put your phone right by down your by your breasts right now.
What's my put my phone? Okay.
Yes, down by your breasts.
Okay.
I want to say,
don't get discouraged because Mama doesn't like you. You are good breasts. You're good breasts. She really loves you.
Oh, she's back on the phone.
Oh, hello, Terry.
Hi. Hi. Oh, hi.
I talk to them myself.
All right, thank you.
I keep saying, stop getting bigger.
Okay. I hate hearing that. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
44D and bye-bye. Still growing?
Hello. Not in my show.
Jesus.
Hi, I just wanted to let you guys know that Britney Spears did have a boob job.
Yeah, I think that's been documented that Britney Spears has
something
done.
I'd
also like to say, Britney Spears is not in the Jennifer Love Hewitt category.
Oh, absolutely not.
Absolutely
no way.
Not.
No
she
way.
She doesn't have the talent that Jennifer has.
Well, all right, listen, I don't know. You know, Jennifer Love Hewitt is not exactly a 10 on the talent meter either, okay?
Talent.
Okay?
Who cares about that? Who knows from talent?
Her talent's in her sweater. That's what her talent's at. Please.
Sweater.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
On the old Valentine.
Hello, Dardo.
Fantasize about Sigourney Weaver.
Sports 1140. KHDK, Sacramento.
All right, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Buzz, I am young and something is still growing.
Oh, this is a call for Buzz. Hello, hello, Jorge.
Hi, Jorge.
I have never had any work done, Buzz.
That's good. You should keep it that way, Jorge.
It's all natural and all beef.
Good for you.
Jorge is very wound up about you today, Buzz.
Jorge, is there anything else you want to say to Mr. Burbank?
Mr. Burbank.
Yes, Jorge.
Mr. Burbank.
Uh-huh.
I have a Frank, Mr. Burbank.
I'll bet you do. Okay.
And it's still growing. Burbank.
There you go.
Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Here's my guy.
The real talent.
Yes.
Genius.
There he goes.
All right.
That's my boy.
That's terrific. You best be very proud of him.
Amadeus. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, this is Surf.
How about another? I'll call it. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey,
Hey, Don, I knew earlier in the show you were talking about Chris Rock. I was wondering if you watched him over the weekend where he was doing the bit about why there's not enough black golfers, where he went to Harlem to try to find out.
Where was he doing that bit?
That sounds like new material.
It was on HBO, his HBO special. Or not the special, but the series.
His series.
Oh, his HBO show.
It was on over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
It was funny. He couldn't find anybody that was playing, and the only place you could find golf clubs was the Salvation Army. And he had like a suit that was like pink checks and a pink hat to go with it. And he went out and was playing golf. I just wonder if you saw it.
No, it didn't. I generally don't watch the Chris Rock show until it starts a new season. I think like next week they start the new season.
This is the one that had Whoopi Goldberg on it.
Yeah, that's another one.
Same with Dennis Miller. I can't stand the reruns either on the Dennis Miller show.
Dennis Miller, though, occasionally holds up. You know, you can see a Dennis Miller rerun, an old one, is a good one. If it takes you any length of time to figure out that it's an old one, that means it's a little bit better. And the one he was doing recently where he had, I guess it was Rita Rudner. She wasn't very good on that show.
I hate her.
But his monologue was real funny. And then he makes the contemporary reference, and you know that it's an old one. But still, the picture segments are still funny.
That's funny.
When you go back, making a drunk Boris Yeltsin joke, it still is funny the way Dennis Miller does it.
You know, the whole rerun thing is funny because generally I don't watch reruns if they're way old.
Right.
Which is why on our show, when we go on vacation, like we were gone for Labor Day, and now we're here, incidentally.
Right. Live.
All you complainers, here live now all the way till Christmas.
In control, gentlemen.
When we do run reruns, we run generally stuff that's happened just in the last couple of months.
We do?
Yes, we do, just to keep you up to date.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know, even with that plan, that the people at the station,
yes,
you know what they want us to do?
What?
They wanted us to make it so that we, like, would fool people. Do you know that Ken actually said to me one day?
Oh, you mean where he wanted us to cut the liners where we'd be here like we were live and say, hey, it's 5 minutes after 5 o'clock.
Ken said to me one day, why do you guys say you're going to be on vacation next week? I said, well, because we're going to be on vacation next week. He said, don't tell the listeners that. I said, they're going to figure it out next week when they hear the tape.
They're not going to insult people's intelligence.
Right.
They know that.
And the other thing is, and I swear to God, he said this to me. He says, when you guys go away, why when you play your rejoinder tapes, do you play a tape that says, it's the best of Don and Mike? I say, well, because it's the best of Don and Mike. And he said, all the other shows on CBS... They all the other network shows, the radio shows they have,
right.
They try to fool people. He says, it's a company policy that you're supposed to make it sound like you're here.
Oh, what a bunch of crap.
I said, no, I think you run the risk of alienating people.
Sure.
You know, why not just come out and say, listen, we know you listen every day. We appreciate the fact you listen every day. Goddamn, we really appreciate it. We're going to be gone for a week. We're going to play some tapes next week that we hope you like.
I would be, frankly, very appreciative if all reruns said that they were reruns. Yes. I really would. I'd like that. I'd like to know it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, not if Ken ran the world.
No, well, Ken would like to deceive.
Ken really said, how about if you and Mike just go in the studio and you just cut some ins and outs that lead into whatever you're talking about and you can make it sound like you're really there.
Hi, we're having a great time today, August 30th, here, now.
Now let's talk about giving away Furbies. Last Christmas.
I know. It's funny. And
it doesn't cut it.
Oh, man. Ken, always trying to, the fear of confrontation is the way that man, he doesn't even want to have a confrontation with the listeners. Won't that make them angry? Yes, Ken, and they'll storm the building like they did in Frankenstein.
I said, no, you know what? I think in the long run, the listeners will appreciate the fact that we're just telling them up front, hey, we're not here.
He probably goes to sleep at night. You know, pictures, listeners getting mad because we say it's the best of, coming down here and go, Stevens! Get him out of here! Get him to the mob!
Stevens.
Bring him up!
Stevens!
We won, Stevens! Taking a big log and pounding on the door. Give us Ken Stevens!
Well, you know, one of these days... Oh, we don't have time now. One of these days, we're going to have to go through this list and just evaluate women just on their breasts.
Good.
And we've got a whole bunch of women who we have not evaluated, who we're going to have to do. So someday in the future, I promise we will we'll get to that.
Good.
You know, Homo Joe has been waiting to play us his tape.
Yes.
So let's do that. I'll just clear these lines out. Hello, Don.
Here.
Don in my show. Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to say we liked your reruns.
That's good. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
It's great.
Thanks.
You bet.
Hey, I know it's a pain in the ass. I know that, you know.
Well, sometimes we wish you were alive, but hey, you guys are human. You got to take vacations, too.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Mr. Bond, we'll take as much as they give us.
That's right.
And I'll be honest, I'm constantly lobbying for more.
Well,
I never think it's enough. I'm lobbying for more, and I was told by Ken that 3 months out of the year was a little excessive.
Really?
Can you believe that?
A little bit.
Unbelievable.
What
an idiot.
You guys know we enjoy the rerun.
Well, thank you. Well, at least on this, we won't lie to you. When we're not here, you'll know we're not here.
That's right. I like Australian rules football. I like the Australian vacation schedule.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah. 2 weeks a year.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I think it really sucks when the G-Man, you know, takes off and tries to phony his tape. So I want to send that message to Ken.
All right, well, I don't know if that comes from G. Gordon Liddy himself. Although, you know, I got to be honest, I got fooled by it today. When I was coming in tonight, I want to tape something with Liddy for the Redskins show.
Right.
Liddy's a big Redskins fan, and he was friends with Nixon when Nixon was a big Redskins fan.
Right.
I came in today, and I said, hey, where's Liddy? I need to tape something.
And they said, and you were listening to the show thinking he was here.
They said, Liddy's been gone all week.
You can always tell when they're in best of because John plays hipper music when Gordon's gone because he can get away with it. That's how I always tell you.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, I wanted to tell you guys that I totally agree with you with the best of thing that you guys say that it's best of, because that drives me absolutely crazy with the show that's on 106 in the morning. They never say that it's best of, and it takes me forever. And then they're talking about something that I think is going on now, and it went on like 4 years ago.
You know, I agree. You tend, if you're listening to a show that's doing that, you tend to focus. If you get caught up and you say, is this a repeat? You dwell on that, and you don't just relax and enjoy the content.
Yeah.
If you say it's
exactly.
the best of, you just focus on the show. Yeah,
that's
it's
right.
a rerun, but what the hell?
Right. Exactly, because they'll be talking about, you know, a Hollywood couple that got divorced or is back together, and I'm like, oh, are they back together? I didn't know that.
Right.
And then I find out it happened like years ago.
I'll tell you one embarrassing thing with running those old tapes, though, is that last week we were on vacation on, I guess it was Friday, I was down at the beach, not even listening to the show. My wife called me up. She's still here. She says, hey, you know what? I'm listening to your show. And I said, really? How's it going? And she said, it's great. You know what's funny? And I think I'm going to hear like a funny bit. She said,
right.
They're playing a tape of you and Mike from January, which is now 9 months ago, in which you're saying you're going to be breaking your deal with Westwood One any day now.
Yeah, well, you got to be careful what you say.
I said, that's what we thought back in January.
Absolutely. Yeah, somebody should have thrown that tape out.
There it is. Goddamn September. We're still working with this. As a matter of fact, they're doing a better job selling this show. They just got us cleared in Seattle.
Fantastic.
Cool.
We're very grateful for that.
Westwood One.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Kick out!
Oh, all right. Enough of that.
Yes,
When we come back, we will talk to homosexual Joseph.
Dotted by Hobo Joe here.
Because, you know, he was at the beach house last week with all of our kooky, crazy listeners.
David, would you like to talk about the beach house?
None of them knew each other, except for the two sisters.
Right.
None of them knew each other before the beach house experience.
Mm-hmm.
So we threw them all together. We gave Joe a tape recorder. And we'll hear the hilarity that ensues.
Who's up for a little Eggs Hobo Joe?
Right. After this.
This is tuned for your chance to name that sound for up to $1,000 only on the Don and Mike Show.
The Butters, it seems like you hate crime in a sort of personal way, if you don't mind me saying so.
Why do you say that, sir?
I said last night I noticed you were, well, let's say more than slightly miffed. Oh, Cindy Roger, yeah. Any particular reason?
150,000 of them. I mean, that's how many bullets were singing around my neighborhood growing up. Couldn't go outside, couldn't go near a window. Lived on the floor, ate on the floor, slept on the floor, watched TV on the floor. See, I didn't learn how to walk till I was 10 years old. Spent most of my formative years nose to nose with the family beagle. You know, when I'm working on a crime, I ain't thinking about the crime. I'm just thinking about that goddamn floor that pisses me off.
The mayors of Biscuitville. Here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hello, yes, we are the mayors of Biscuitville.
I am looking at the log from the digital audio tape that we gave Homo Joe to take to the beach house.
Right. Yes, I understand there are hours of material on there.
But there's so much stuff. Let me see. Allison, when she started saying, Homo Joe, I want to make you straight. Scott and Allison fighting about camera. Allison belching. Girls talk about sex toys. Sitting in the living room playing drinking games with Uno. Melody under table. Scott saying he's a redneck. Conversations during card game. Allison belches. Talking about top or bottom sex. Melody says no way she takes it in the butt. Allison says she's going to do Dennis Murphy. Then they start playing a card game called 69 Social All Drink Up. Then they start playing a card game called Bull S. Okay? And this is why we can't air any of this part of the
thing. It says bull ass.
Right. Because
the
whole point of the game is saying the word bull ass.
Right.
All right, we'll start Joe's tape with reel number two.
That's a good idea, Dot.
And, Joe's on line one. I'll get right to him.
Good.
First, I want to share with you some of his recipes.
Oh, he made some new ones, right, for this trip special.
He sure did. From the kitchen of Homo Joe, the Don and Mike Show, Labor Day Cookbook to second in the series.
Fantastic. He's a very accomplished chef.
Mm-hmm. Here are some of Joe's recipes.
I love these recipes.
You know, if we had a website, we could be like Regis and Kathy Lee and say you can find these on our website at www.
Yeah, and or we could, you know, bring in a whole little mini kitchen in here and have Homo Joe cook with us.
Unfortunately, we don't have a mini kitchen and we don't have a website. let me see. He offers these. The Don and Mike Show's Weird World Dewey Beach Fried Chicken.
Oh, fantastic.
Mike Rockhead, Orange Chicken, Finger Licking Good. He's named many of these treats and beverages after us.
How do you make the breading stick to the chicken?
Then you have Homo Joe Spaghetti and Meat Balls. And balls is written real big.
Oh, dear.
Then you have...
It's an old family recipe.
Ken Stevens Garlic Cheesy Bread, just like the moles on his neck.
Oh, gross. Oh. Hey, he really put a lot of time into this.
Then we have, and these are all real recipes.
Right.
Then you have Jeremy Coleman's I Am a Little Deviled Egg.
So he's just taking, you know, American classics and sticking the names of people we know on them.
Don Geronimo's Don't Let Your Meatloaf. Mike O'Mara's Shiner Pepper Stick.
Steak.
I'm sorry.
Pepper Stick?
Steak. Oh, pepper steak. Shiner, like Larry King says Shiner.
Mac and Shiner.
Charlie Broyhill's Macaroni and Cheese Between His Toes. Ken Stevens' Toss the Egg Salad.
Back to egg.
Jeremy Coleman's Cauliflower with Cheese Sauce with Homo Joe.
Wow, he got personal with that one, with the cheese sauce.
Then we have some salad dressings.
I bet you do.
Buzz Burbank's Geishi Italian dressing.
Oh. It's the best.
And then for desserts, Charlie Stossel wishes he had some mom's apple pie crumb pie.
Maybe he's getting tired when he gets to the dessert.
Sure.
Maybe, yeah, that's right. Get into the cups a little bit.
Rabe Spiewak's I Like to Eat Potato Salad.
Ah, very good. Like to sample that.
Dennis Murphy's Mexican Breakfast. Homemade salsa, Big Gum Jim style.
And notice a lot of these recipes, I mean, these food products usually involve mayonnaise.
Eggs Benedict a la Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Oh, yum, yum.
Cheryl's Special Dyke Sauce.
Wow. Can you... Perhaps there's been nothing that I've wanted to hear the ingredients, but Cheryl's Special Dyke Sauce. What would be in that, just out of curiosity?
4 egg yolks.
There you go.
1/2 cup butter. 2 to 3 tablespoons pus.
Oh,
no. Gross. Oh, God, I'm puke. Dash of blood.
Oh, no, come on. No.
All right, really, 4 egg yolks.
Right.
1/2 cup butter. 2 to 3 tablespoons of real lemon juice.
Mm-hmm.
A dash of salt. And a dash of fresh ground pepper.
Kind of a variation on hollandaise sauce, it sounds like.
Yeah, right. That's for the Eggs Benedict a la Big Dyke Cheryl.
Excellent. Her sauce, right, so her special Dyke sauce.
Here is Homo Joe now. Hello, Homo.
Hey, Donna Mike. How are you?
Did you make any of these recipes for everybody?
Some of them we did. Some we didn't get to, but we talked about going to make them.
Was there anything that you made out of your recipe book that went over big with the revelers?
Well, they liked the Dennis Murphy Mexican breakfast.
Really?
Really, they did. Mm-hmm. How did Dennis like the breakfast?
Dennis ate anything. You know how he is.
Yep.
Right now, on this tape, I'll tell you right now that the highlight I'm going to save till the end It's when Dennis is sleeping on the floor and Homo Joe Tatum snoring.
I can't wait to hear that.
But there's lots before that. Now, Joe, before we start hearing the tape of the Beach House, tell us who actually showed up and tell us a little bit about each of the people we're going to be hearing here.
Scott is the redneck, but he was a real nice guy. He was the first one to arrive. He was very dreamy, and we made him a honorary gay kitchen cook.
Oh, really? And was he, did you detect any homophobia in young
Scott? No, he was cool. He was very cool.
He was very cool.
Yeah, he was very cool.
Who was
nice
next?
Guy. And the next ones that arrived were the two sisters, Allison and Melody.
Now, from our previous experience with the bus to King's Dominion, we thought they might be trouble. Were they trouble, Homo Joe?
Somewhat, but they were okay. We worked it all out.
And one of them turns out to be a dominatrix, right?
Right, and they're both nannies.
Oh, really? Huh. All right, who else showed up?
And then there was Craig, our lawyer, who kept the house very straight-laced.
Craig, the lawyer, who was a straight guy.
Yeah, and he was very homophobic, I felt.
He was
homophobic. Yeah.
And then we had a lot of visitors from Melody and Allison and Scott. They had friends that came down and crashed the beach house. And then we had our lovely Dennis Murphy and Cheryl the Big Dyke.
What was it, the maximum number of people that spent the night in the beach house?
Oh,
when it was
God,
most
I'd say, up to maybe 10.
Wow. And somebody told me that at one point these two sisters wanted to bring like 30 people into the beach house.
It was a mess.
Wow. All right, well, let's start with tape number two. This is where Joe is taking everybody out to Starboards for a party. What is Starboards, the local bar?
One of the local pubs up on the corner. You know, it's only three blocks wide and 2 miles or 4 miles long to Philly Beach. It's not that big a place.
All right, here is Joe. And incidentally, I might have to delete some of this out since this is not edited for broadcast.
Ah, very good.
Yeah, I also brought the cigar out at the Starboards. That was an interesting thing.
Oh, really?
And you mentioned that you have a videotape on all this that we'll be showing at our next Vegas-style show, right?
That's correct. It'll be very interesting.
All right, here is Homo Joe with our strangers, Allison, Melanie, Scott, Craig, Dennis and Cheryl going to Starboards to party. This was over the Labor Day weekend.
Cheryl the Big Dyke, I showed up.
Who are you?
No, I'm from the beach house.
I'm Brandon.
I'm living La Vida Loca, baby.
Woo-hoo! I'm Kevin.
Hey, but you should get some hotter looking women in there.
That's my drunk friend. Don't pay attention to him.
That's annoying. I can't stand it. Give me a headache.
You're already burned out on that.
Don, the other thing about Allison.
Yeah, Joe, yeah.
She was on the bus trip with the Lutard in the bathroom.
Oh, she's a bad girl from the bus.
Yeah, bad girl.
She's a JonBenet lookalike, too.
Okay. Oh, you mean she's shaved?
Yes, way down there, very shaved.
All right.
Thanks for sharing.
Let's fast forward a little bit to... Now, how long did they stay at the bar on this tape?
About 2 hours.
2 hours on here.
2 hours on the 2 hours
no,
of
I
tape?
No, I didn't put 2 hours on the tape. I kind of shut it down because it got wild.
I compressed it a little bit. I'll move ahead to when they get back to the house. It's not quite so confusing.
All right, let's hear them back at the house. When does Joe bring out the cigar and start doing the cigar?
Oh, that was at the Starboards.
Well, Robbie, you better cue it back to there. Do you actually do anything with the cigar with these
girls?
Well,
we almost had to Colleen, one of the girl's friends, was going to do it for Scott.
But it didn't happen?
She chickened out because when I brought the cigar, it was very large.
All right. Are we ready on that?
About there. I don't know.
All right, about it. Here we go.
What are you thinking about this crowd, Scott?
It's a great crowd. 2:30 in the afternoon, everybody's drunk already.
I cannot stand to listen to that. I'm sorry. I can't. Really,
like
give me a splitting headache.
Pretty pot-eyed. We had a star. Ricky Brand was there, and he said hello to you on that tape, too.
Who?
Ricky Brand, the Redskins.
You mean Reggie Brand?
Reggie Brand. I'm sorry.
Reggie Brand, you are Homo Joe.
I am.
Reggie Brand. Yes.
Thank you so much.
His name is Reggie Brand.
Yeah, and he is one of the bouncers down there.
Ah, very good.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
Reggie Brand. Tell you.
But I'm sure he does a good job at it.
Yeah, he does.
Robbie, let's fast forward to when they're actually at the beach house.
Maybe it's a little quieter.
I like the concept. I like the theory of taking the tape recorder to the bar, but it was like being at my wife's family reunion.
A little noisy.
2:30 in the afternoon?
That place was packed. You couldn't even walk around it. So
wow. That was in the daytime that was happening?
That was at 12:30 in the afternoon.
It's incredible.
Now, because everybody started drinking at noon.
Robbie, on the previous tip, we can't play anywhere they were playing cards, right? Because there's too much cussing there?
All swearing, yeah.
All swearing. Okay, all right. Here, where are we now on the save, Robbie?
If I'm not mistaken, we're right at the fabulous Ricky Brand interview.
Okay, this is Reggie Brand.
Thank you.
One of our friends used to play for the Washington Redskins.
I like looking young men. Even though they aren't straight, they're some hotties or something. I have one of your fans here that's the security folks here at the starboard.
Hey, this is Reggie Brand. How you guys been doing?
We're down here with the Dewey Beach House gang. They're in the restaurant eating. So is your job real hard here?
I tell you what, though, this weekend... It's interesting. Put it that way.
I'm Homo Joe, and, I don't really like women that much, but there's some hotties in this place today.
There's a lot of women in here, man.
And this is Cheryl the Big Dyke.
Hi, Cheryl the Big Dyke. A lot of women in here, yeah, but they're all straight.
And then there's Dennis Murphy,
I know Dennis.
He's the best, man.
What a carnival trip this is.
Poor Reggie Branch. Just when he thought his life could get no lower, he's working as a bouncer in Dewey Beach. Here comes Homo Joe, Cheryl, and Dennis.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything to say to Don and Mike?
Hey, Don and Mike, you gotta stay real, okay?
Talk to you guys
later.
A good time, you think?
Yeah.
He didn't
want to
talk to him.
Where's the Tin Man?
We're on a mission. We are going to check out what is happening on the roof here. And
now, are we back in the house?
Yeah, we're raiding the bedroom, Dom, with the three ladies in bed.
Ah.
Don
has three ladies in bed,
yeah, that's
said.
The way he slept the whole weekend.
Were they all members of the beach house?
Two were, and one was a friend of Scott's.
So Scott was in bed all with... Was Scott doing them?
We think so, but we...
Oh, wow.
All right, let's hear a little of this. Okay, let's hear some.
Mike, we're on a mission. We are going to check out what is happening on the room here. And
the what?
The room.
The room.
Oh, the room.
Get ready to open the door.
The room.
And Cheryl.
If we can interrupt him.
Hello? Cheryl, what is that? Was that Dennis?
That was sent Dennis in to jump in the pile.
That was somebody spoiling the plan, I think?
Yes, Dennis came running in because he's heard bed women and he got all excited.
All right, okay.
The room here. And Dennis is getting ready to open the door. And Cheryl.
If we can interrupt him, Dennis.
Look at that, Donna Mike. Isn't that a pretty picture? Dennis, I would get right in the middle of the two girls right here. Right here, Dennis. Right here. Dennis, go over there. Go in there, Dennis. Dennis, do it, Dennis. Do it.
Let it go, Joe.
Jesus. This is very serious stuff here.
Hi.
Sure.
Get in.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Now, what's happening? Is Dennis getting into bed with these people?
Yeah, he's getting in between the two sisters.
Oh, my God.
All right, this is cool.
That's a lot of people.
I'm lost on this thing. This is Scott, who's in bed with three other girls. You guys crashed, and Dennis then jumped into bed with them, right?
Correct. That's correct. And when he did, on the videotape, you'll see that when Dennis jumped in bed, he pulled up Allison's skirts and showed everything she had.
So he showed, her nice bush.
Yes.
Wow.
That was the JonBenet look.
Oh, the JonBenet. Oh, the lack of nice bush.
Yes.
Was Dennis clothed?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
But I think he got the little boink thing going on there.
Oh. Dennis did?
Yes.
Oh, just the even though it was tomfoolery and hijinks, Dennis actually took it a little more seriously.
Yes, he did.
All right, Homo Joe, hold on, please. We have to do a break. We are getting all of the details from the beach house. Joe, would you say that this group is wilder than the last group you took to the beach house?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They were just a party animal group and drinking all the time and just having a good time. Yes, they were a much better group. Matter of fact, when we were out on a porch, the people, the next door neighbors, remembered the lovely Jill, and they had a comment about her. I don't know if Robbie put it on tape or not.
Oh, really?
What, yeah.
What was that? What was the comment about Jill?
About Jill putting her butt up over the railing and being slapped by her boyfriend.
Oh, that was Jill from the last beat.
From the last
beat, right?
I said, I hope she's not here again this time. I said, no, she's not.
Oh, that nobody, nobody likes Jill.
Nobody likes Jill. Well,
nobody likes Jill.
We like Jill.
Yeah, I like her.
You sure do.
She was a good contestant in our underwear fashion show.
She there certainly you was.
Hold on, Homo Joe. Oh, here on line number four is Allison.
Hello.
From the beach house. Hello, Allison.
Hello.
Now, are you the dominatrix?
No, and I think Joe's been exaggerating a little too much.
Really? Why so, Allison?
I did have underwear on when Dennis jumped on top of me, and there were not 30 people coming to the beach house.
Right, but there were 10 people, though.
Well, we only had one extra person spend the night.
Did you want more to come?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's pretty accurate.
All right. How was Joe? Was Joe a good house mother?
Yes, he was excellent. We had a great time with him.
Ah, very good. Glad to hear. Okay. Allison, I'll leave you on hold so you can give us some commentary, okay?
Okay.
All right. Hold on a second,
all right,
please. All right. Joe, did you get along well with Allison?
Yeah, she was great. She was a great party.
Beautiful.
She taught me how to play all the good drinking games.
Hey, wonderful.
Okay.
All right.
Hold on. What was one of the drinking games she told you, Joe?
We played a game called Pyramid.
Pyramid? What's that?
That's where you put the cards out like in a pyramid and you turn sideways, and if you don't match the card, you have to drink.
Oh, you played that game.
And it's double drinking or single drinking.
You played that game before, but it wasn't a drinking game, was it?
Yes, that's
Joe?
Correct.
It, was it ended up being a drinking game,
wasn't it?
Yes, it did. Bada-bing.
Hold on, Joe.
Those happy touchstones right there. Let's clear these lines and get a caller 100.
I'm at the top of the pyramid.
And another chance for you to win the money. 521 bucks and change with the secret sound. Got it right now if you're the 100th caller.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.